John. Don't get sick. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. And that's the chain reaction.
I just puked. I'm sorry.
You look totally green.
Rob?
Oh, no.
All right, I think Buzz is going to puke.
Hey, look at your newsman over there. He looks like he's turning a little peaked. Jeez, I didn't mean to make the whole step.
You started this, Regis.
Oh, I love you, boys.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Seconds on the clock.
Ready?
To bitch about the studio and all of the things that are still wrong with it.
Are you ready?
Ready. Hold on. One of my complaints has just been fixed.
Oh, you didn't have your headphones in here?
No, my headphones were MIA.
Ah.
Hi, Chuck. I think one of your complaints will probably tie in with that complaint.
With the headphone complaint?
Yeah. Is it about shortness?
The shortness of what? Shortness of breath?
No. The shortness, never mind.
Temper?
What, Charlie? It's always nice when Charlie comes in at the beginning of the show because it gives us great momentum.
What are you talking about? The headphones shorting out?
I was talking about the show before you. That shortness.
Oh, no. That had nothing to do with the... with the complaints about the studio.
Not at all.
Although, these headphones are shorting out, if you must know.
Yes.
And we had Ken Stevens in here.
Uh-huh. We did, giving him a little tour of the studio.
Showing him everything that was wrong in the studio. And if only he had stayed...
I know.
40 seconds longer.
Right. And don't fix that, Charlie.
Because right as Ken walked out...
out.
No, I want it to look like it did before.
There was a giant crash.
That's a good look, I think. That's a look that'll make my point a little better.
As the clock, which had never been secured to the wall, fell off the wall and nearly impaired Mike.
I tell you right now, this place...
Impaled and impaired.
Impaired and impaled, same thing.
Same difference.
If I'd been impaled, I would have been impaired. Mm-hmm. You know, this place is not finished, and I'm not quite sure why, but the clock, the reason the clock fell off the wall is because we put it up there ourselves, because nothing is finished in this studio.
This place blows.
This sucks. This totally sucks.
Hello.
And the clock fell off the wall and hit me in the shoulder.
And we're being censored.
Yes.
So hello to everybody in New York. Hopefully you'll be able to hear the entire show tonight, as long as we don't talk about...
It's gonna be May.
As long as we don't mention that.
You know, that was very clever. You just edited yourself, and I think that's... At least when you do that, you know what's going on.
Yes.
It's gonna be May.
And that's our little cue for everybody who listened to the show the last couple of days to know exactly what we're talking about. That we in fact... had our weenies slapped over the weekend.
It's gonna be May.
That we're not allowed to talk about the things that we were talking about ad nauseum on Friday that caused a great portion of Thursday's show to be edited in New York and virtually half of the show on Friday to be edited in New York.
That's correct. So now we know, and hopefully New York City will be able to enjoy all 4.5 hours of the fabulous program today, tonight.
And Rob, I know that I just asked you for a submarine sound effect. I also need the sound effect, from the music library of some Russian music.
Russian
music, or like concentration camp music. I mean, I don't know if there is such a thing as concentration camp music. Do we have the...
Gulag music.
Do we have the soundtrack to Schindler's List anywhere around here?
I don't think so.
I think our Russian music is way too happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you need what you need is a Russian funeral dirge.
Yeah, like a march or something like that. See, this is real too happy, man, when we want to talk about how...
I like singing along with it, though. Hoi, hoi, but that's me, Chief Nesmith.
Hoi, hoi. Because we need some good Russian music to play, whatever the topic of the show being censored...
It's gonna be May.
...comes up.
That music should go like...
Some real sad, real gallows-type music, because... We found out not only are we now being edited in New York.
It's gonna be May.
We're also being edited throughout the network.
Right, so we gotta knock it off.
Right.
But we don't have to knock it off when we tell you that that's happening. We just can't go give you the reasons why that's happening.
But if you listen to the show the last couple of days,
you know
why.
It's gonna be May.
That's why. So, hello.
And I don't understand it, but I understand it.
Hello. I don't.
It's gonna be May.
But I had some great conversations over the weekend with upper management for CBS Radio.
And I thank you. I always say that's one of the sweetest parts of my job, that I don't have to take the point on those things, and I just wait for your message on the machine, and I know that it's all better. And you gave me a very thoughtful message on the weekend saying everything has kind of been worked out. Everything was explained to you. You got to issue your 2 cents about it.
Yeah, I did.
And now everything is will proceed.
Good.
Business as usual.
I issued my 2 cents, and in essence, they said, F you.
It's gonna be May.
So here we are. Hello.
Hi.
This is the show such as it is, and okay. Studio sucks.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
It's gonna be May.
Let's start with a telephone call, okay?
That's always a nice way to start.
That's how we'll start, and then on with the show. So I do have some weekend stuff to tell you about.
Good.
We have some sad news considering the topic matter. Well, did Olivet Spellman passed away?
Oh, you could have been more gentle. You could have just been more gentle.
Well, what am I supposed to do, tease people with that news?
Well, I guess you don't want to tease it, but...
Right.
Show lost a friend. Olivet Spellman, lady we gave an entertainment system to, passed away over the weekend.
Right.
Or maybe like a month ago, I don't know.
No, it was last Wednesday. It was at the Kansas City Star.
Last Wednesday.
Somebody from Kansas City said it to us.
Very, very, very sad.
Yes. You think there's a chance we can get that TV back?
No, that TV's probably... But she had... Weren't her kids ill, too? Right. As you always talked about our kids being
one of them, yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
All I know is that it was a goddamn expensive TV, and we got
a satellite system.
And we got a DSS, too.
She never used it.
Right.
Hello? Didn't get it.
Yes, I... Have you guys read the latest issue of Maxim, the one with the Coyote Girls on, or Coyote Ugly Girls on the cover?
I don't think we have. You read that?
I've just looked at the pictures in Maxim. I know the Coyote Girls. I went on their website and looked at the pictures.
If you guys turn to page 40, there's an article about this town in Austria. It's spelled like the F word with ing.
Yes.
But it's not pronounced how you think it is. The pronunciation rhymes with looking.
Looking. So it's Fooking?
Yeah.
Right. You know, then we should do some research, and we should call Fooking was it Austria?
Austria?
Yeah, there's even a website, www.fooking.at.
All right, we'll get into it.
All right.
Probably it's that sound, too, that sound, that puking. Puking.
Rob, right after you get the sound effects of the submarine, and right after you get me the Russian death march music, find us the numbers in, how do you say it again?
Puking. Austria.
Puking Austria.
Hello. I think it's probably pronounced that way. I could be wrong.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to let you guys know, for years and years, I've been an avid listener of You Know Who in the morning.
Oh, but now listen. Cut it out.
Listen. We have to. Listen, we've been told that if we don't do that, the show won't exist.
So we can't do that anymore, okay?
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Censorship blows.
Yes, it does.
It's gonna be May.
It does. Thank you for your support, though. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
What you got there, Rob?
I think I've got a death march you might like.
A death march?
Let me show you something in a death march.
Rob has selected a death march for us.
See if this meets with your...
Okay, let's see.
I think that's right.
Let's see. This would be good to play when we talk about being censored. And now, not only in New York, but in all the markets we broadcast
to. Nationwide. Your standard death march.
That's like for Olivette Spellman for when we read her
obituary.
Her obit.
We're looking for something more ethnic.
Well, I do have something ethnic, but I think it might be too happy.
Something with a Russian twist.
Something like, I know the Russians are famous for their funeral dirges.
This is called the Budapest Express.
The Budapest Express.
Sounds happy. Rob actually wrote that.
I did. It's a little something.
Okay, hold on. Let me get this queued up. The Budapest Express. Oh, too happy.
But it's
too
happy.
We are censored. Yes, we are. We can say what we want to say.
Hey.
It's gonna be May.
This one. It's called Babushka.
Ah, Babushka.
Wait, what's the cut? 11?
Yes.
Okay, let's try this one. Oh, I can tell you already. Too happy.
Here in Soviet Republic, we keep lid on media outlets to make sure that their content is not what it should be to a fan state.
This does not say to me oppression. This says to me like, sitting outside having a warm beer.
But extremely Russian.
Very.
Better, more Russian even than that other thing.
All right.
This is called The Temple, but it's supposed to be sparse and traditional.
A row.
I like it, though.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's try the next one. No, this is like oompa music.
You guys are being censored. People watch out for you every day, and we'll chop out all the things that you like to say.
We have guys sitting on buttons. Buttons and buttons and buttons. If you say what you're not supposed to say, we'll ship you off to Fooking Australia. Austria, excuse me.
Austria. I like this CD, though. Lovely music.
Not what we're looking for, though. Where can you find some good down-tempo European music? No.
We are editing your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely not.
Right.
This is like
Caribbean sounding.
Come on.
Hey, let's move.
Hey. Shake your moneymaker. Welcome, man. Welcome to the island of censorship. That's right, man. You won't be able to say anything we don't want you to say. Here on the island of censorship, everything is fine because we control everything you say, man. And if you talk about that subject you're not supposed to talk about,
it's gonna be May.
We'll edit it right out of the show, man. That's right, man. You see, we got that big button over there to chop out everything you say that makes us unhappy. And you know how you used to be on a 3-second delay, and then we make it an 8-second delay? Well, hey, guess what, man? Now you want a 1-minute delay. That's right, man. Which means we can chop out anything you want to say at all. So don't talk about,
it's gonna be May.
And enjoy your time here on the island of censorship.
Yeah, we put you in the gulag.
Your host for the island of censorship is little Ken Stevens. That's right, Ken Stevens, the witch doctor. And his number one man, he's the guy wearing the tattoo shirt and the tattoo pants like Fantasy Island. That's Jeremy Coleman, man.
That's right, Jeremy Coleman, Ken Stevens, little voodoo doll, man.
I like this CD.
Very nice.
Let's see what's next.
Wonderful music.
That just sucks on every level.
Can't do that one. We try the next cut.
Hello.
This is Middle Eastern.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Hello.
If you talk about that surgeon disc jockey,
it's gonna be May.
We'll chop your arm off like we do to shoplifters.
You will not be allowed back in the Casbah.
Hey, no, that one won't work.
No.
Hold on.
It's confusing switching these dialects.
I know, and all of mine sound the same.
I don't know if you picked up on that or not.
Now, this is the real Caribbean music here. It's another sunny, perfect day here on the island of censorship, man.
Oh, yeah, man. We don't let you talk at all. We got the big red button to push and you'll get screwed.
The deal here on the island of censorship is that we hire you. And then we tell you, it's your show. Go ahead. Say anything you want, man.
That's right.
Unless you talk about something that somebody doesn't want you to talk about.
They're funny things. Be entertaining. But if you cross over that subject matter line,
it's gonna be May.
It makes our shorts all tight in the crotch, man. We chop out 60 seconds or more of your program.
And one more thing. When you join the island, none of us have any balls, man. We are all eunuchs, man. You know, no genitals here on the island of censorship.
Completely smooth, man. Nothing down there at all.
We got no balls.
We got no twig and berries. Yay.
Okay.
Ken Stevens. Cruising down Electric Avenue.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the island of censorship, and I'm your host, Georgie. We're going to chop out the whole show.
But for you at a discount.
That might be Greek. We might have blown that one.
Yeah, I know, we all thought it was like Hebrew.
I know.
Ah, flash. Hola.
Excuse me, not hola.
Bonsoir. Welcome to the pleasant French city of censorship. This is the restaurant Chez Chapelot. That's where they chop a lot of the show out, so you silly Americans cannot enjoy yourselves. My name is Ken, and I will tell you the specials today. Our special today is the same as it is every day. You can't say what you want to say on the radio.
It's gonna be May.
And I am Ken's trusted assistant. My name is Claude
Claude Balls. Claude Balls. I will press the button that will censor the guys.
Okay, what do you think you got it, Rob?
This, I think, is... We're getting close to Russian now.
Right.
All right, close to Russian.
Hold on, I need to fast forward in just a hair.
Just a hair.
Just a small hair, my friend.
Just a non-hair?
Try that.
Sounds like a Broadway musical, doesn't
it? Sounds like Goonies.
It's from Groundhog Day.
It's from Groundhog Day.
Well, that's closer in tempo, but...
It makes up a... For, where it doesn't have the Russian quality to it.
I know exactly the song we need, and I don't know that we have it in the building.
Oh, really?
The song of the Volga Boatman.
See, Rob's in his brain, he knows. I don't doubt him for a second.
Well, he got like 60 copies of it at home, I'm sure, in various places, but home isn't here.
The Volga Boatman.
The Volga Boatman. I think it might be.
That's the first.
Well, that almost sounds like Wizard of Oz.
Oh, we are.
Playing the kind of music that I love more than anything else in the whole wide world. That's right. Screw you. We're not a unified radio station. We're broken up. Part of it to the north, part of it to the south.
But I'll drink all night and it won't bother me.
What the hell? I don't know.
This is like Ukrainian or something, right?
Yeah, no, we don't want that. All right, we might be cycling through these now. We may have heard every cut on this CD.
Spanish music. This is from where your son is.
Hello, senor. Welcome to the country known as Censorship.
See, you are listening. You are in the bullfighting arena. Ben Stevens holds this sword, and we are the bull about to be stabbed.
Walk through this disc. I think this is, you're going to like this.
Okay.
Alexander right. Nevsky.
Oh, good. Okay. Ah, well. We've gone right to our Russian main vein.
Here we go.
All right.
A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
That's better.
Getting there.
Try the other cut. There's a lot of ones on here.
Okay.
All right, try another cut.
Looking for the Russian funeral dirge kind of music.
Bear with us.
Getting close.
Yeah.
Censorship. It's a beautiful thing.
We are a radio show that has lost the degree of freedom. You can take our lives, but you will never take our freedom!
All right, let me try the next one.
That's pretty good.
We are getting closer. Cut number three. Just has a good sad sound to it. I hope it doesn't get happy on us.
This is making me want to cry.
That's sentimental.
Yeah.
Christ, we want something that screams oppression.
Here we go.
You will not talk about the disc jockey. Or else we will censor you.
Go back to the beginning. Start it from the very beginning, because I think that starts out really powerful. And we can just say, when it recues here, you can say, we are living in a state of oppression.
You can go right into that.
We may have found our music there.
That could be it. Let's say that somebody calls.
It's going to be May.
And as soon as they say that,
has been banned for conversation. We are sorry, but due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to discuss that topic.
This message has been brought to you by CBS, the Communist Broadcasting System.
Time our music, Rob. You did it.
That's it.
That is so perfect.
Thank you.
That is so perfect.
Card that up.
Well, that's
you know what? Don't even bother carding up. Just leave it in CD number.
And you know, when it gets back to the beginning, and you know, anybody asks us, hey, Don and Mike, why can't you talk about that? That's the music when someone comes upon the most horrible of scenes.
Right.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be May.
All right. So we figured out a way around it for now.
Very good.
Technically, I don't think we're breaking any rules here.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just double check with the weasels upstairs.
Okay. Just make sure everything's okay. You know, that music might be appropriate when they answer the phone, too. This music, that is perfect. You play enough of them, and you find the perfect music.
Mm-hmm. I know the weasel's here. A little gerbil.
Our state of oppression. That's just too good. Every day, toiling away. I watched a little, you know, speaking of that, I watched a little Papillon again last night.
Ah, Papillon the teeth.
Papillon on Bravo. I didn't know they ran commercials on Bravo.
Yes, they do.
I had to bail out when they did that.
All right, well, I'm guessing since they're not picking up the phone that this is okay, what we're doing today.
Who are you trying to call, Don, just out of curiosity?
I was trying to call Jeremy Coleman, Mike. The man who's made it his personal goal to censor this show.
Hey, that is too good.
That's good.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Speak to us.
Don.
Hi, you're on the air.
Listen, Don, I look at guys, but I have a suggestion for you. You're hurting the show by talking about this. Drop this topic, forget it, this never happened, and just move on. You're not going to win this battle.
You know, here I am thinking we were just being, you know, very playful with something and having a lot of fun with it, and I found it very entertaining.
Mm-hmm. If you don't like it,
it's not coming across entertaining.
Oh,
well, then change the station.
No, you don't get it. It's not entertaining to you.
So change the station.
Oh, I don't want to change.
It's no skin off my nose. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Do it now.
No, I won't.
Well, then you have no right to call and bitch.
Well, you know, it's hurting the show, Don. Just
all right,
forget
because
you've done a great show for so many
years. You know more.
Controversy.
I'm sure. You know more about doing the show than we do.
What's that?
You know more about doing the show than we do?
Well, I listen to you guys, so I know.
Uh-huh, so you know more than we do?
No, I don't.
Okay, then why are you calling?
To let you know, it's getting boring now. Just drop it.
Okay, it's your opinion. That is your opinion. You have every right to your opinion.
If it's getting boring to you, change the station. Or maybe you've not heard Bob Barker's message.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Have you never heard that before?
Several times. Friendly advice, my friend. Just move on.
Friendly advice, my friend.
Friendly advice, my friend. Go F yourself.
I'll do that.
Oh, you will.
Good.
Good. Send us a picture.
All right, guys. Take care.
Hey, thanks for that pick-me-up.
What? No, I'm telling you. Listen, that's the
truth. Yeah, here's the right
battle.
There.
Yeah.
Right there. This is somebody... You don't even know...
A great show for
you
so
don't,
many years.
You don't even know...
You don't know what the battle is. You don't know what the battle is.
And besides, I thought we were handling it in a lighthearted way, and we were hoping that it was entertaining.
But
obviously, if you don't get the joke, get the joke.
If you don't like it, change the station. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
And you don't get it. You don't get the joke.
Well, it's not a joke anymore.
No, it is a joke.
Thursday and Friday, but it's not.
It is a joke.
Well, listen, too effing bad.
Okay. Listen, I mean, your demeanor, you are coming across so stiff today.
So stiff? Like when we were singing along to various songs on the ethnic CD, you thought we were coming across as stiff?
Don is coming across very...
No, he's not.
Oh, yes, that's right. Because of me, the big villain.
Well, listen, it's all very...
You are not a villain, Don.
It's subjective. It's very subjective. You don't like it. What I say to you is give whoever gave you your green card, give it back to them, and get the hell out of my country.
Well, it's my country, too.
Are you a citizen?
Yes, of course.
Where are you from originally, sir?
What do you think? Mike knows all the accents.
No, I don't. I really don't. I can't tell yours because you got a bad phone.
I got a bad friend. Okay, I'm from Morocco.
From Morocco. I knew that right away because I know all the accents.
Right.
Come on, Mike. I'm not from Morocco. You know that.
Right, listen. Well, why are we talking to some illegal alien about this discussion?
I should have known right away from that accent that he was from Morocco.
Right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
The island of Morocco where no one gets the jokes.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Comrade Don and Comrade Mike.
Yes, comrade.
Forget that, dickhead. He doesn't speak for all of us. Hey, this censorship breaches your contract. Become a free agent. Go on your own. Forget the Jeremy.
Again, I don't see... You guys don't know everything behind the scenes. It doesn't censor... I mean, censorship doesn't invalidate our contract.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
Well, we love you and keep on doing what you're doing.
Thank you, my friend.
Love you, Sacramento.
Thank you. Thank you. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That was funny. F the last guy. And also, today is the first time I've ever seen Regis truly smile.
Oh, listen.
A heartfelt smile came today.
Today, when they play the same stupid music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know where they normally have the pictures of Regis and Kathy Lee? It was just pictures of just Regis. And it said, live with, and then in gigantic letters, Regis, with an exclamation point after it.
And there he was with his charming wife, who I got the impression from their host chat, still might be interested in the gig. I thought she might kind of want the gig. She says she doesn't want it, but I got the impression that that maybe Regis told her not to want it.
I didn't even really pay attention past when I realized that all that they were going to talk about Kathy Lee was one veiled reference in the first 30 seconds of the show.
Exactly.
And then he moved right on. I mean, it was like, yeah, we had a great dinner this weekend.
We went to see What Lies Beneath.
Great movie, Joy.
What? Hello?
Oh, the guy just hung up on us. No, that's too bad.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Oops. What am I doing? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, radio station.
Yes. Now, keep saying what you have to say, but please don't censor me. And listen to
me.
It's going to be me.
Listen,
that folks. Oh, you have to leave the driving to us on this one, okay?
Don and Mike movie I want you to say called Private Fart.
What did he say?
He said
Private Fart.
Private Farts.
Okay.
Dude, Don and
now,
Mike.
Now listen, you know what?
It's going to be me.
You're going to get us edited out of the show. So please, don't do that. Please don't do that. They're going to edit that out. Okay?
Thank you, though. Thank you for your support.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I'm from Morocco, and I get jokes.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Hey, it's because you're from Morocco.
I'm offended.
Yeah, that guy wasn't from Morocco. He's from Morocco.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's on the upside of the moon, right?
Not to be confused with the planet, simply Ronco, which is Ron Popeil's planet.
Yeah, big picture of his mouth.
Thanks, guys.
And his big deep fryer, whatever those stupid rotisserie ovens are that he sells on TV.
And his freeze dryer, you know, where he freeze dries the fruit.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Earlier you said a Russian word, I think it was like babushki or something.
Babushka.
Oh, it sounds a lot like the Polish word for nipple, babushki.
Is this the nipple guy?
Yes.
Hi, nipple guy.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to inform you.
How many languages do you know the word nipple in?
Three.
What are the three?
English, French, and Polish.
All right, say it in English.
Nipple.
French.
Mamelon.
Polish.
Babovka.
All right.
He's obsessed.
J'aime tes mamelons. Je veux peloter tes mamelons.
I don't know. Thank you, nipple guy.
I said I want to wind your nipples up in a ball.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye, nipple guy.
Bye, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Goodbye. Listen, let's do a break. I do have some weekend stuff to tell you about. We do have a submarine sound effect ready.
Yes, we do.
So we'll be ready with that one also. I don't know if we're going to break on time or not, since the clock on the wall has fallen. Well, we're a couple seconds early today. We'll go to break.
Okay.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Be call 100 right now. Give you a shot at the money with the secret sound. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Bob Crane enjoyed the Hollywood nightlife and soon found new ways to blend his Playboy lifestyle with his passion for cameras. The star began to videotape sexual encounters. As co-star Werner Klemperer recalls,
I don't know whether you'd call them pornographic, but they were erotic films of sex acts that he enjoyed filming.
God damn it.
Right?
The Don and Mike Show.
Right?
call 100. This is from the Kansas City Star over the weekend. Sad news.
Oh, no.
Olivet Spellman, all regular listeners of the show know who Olivet is, passed away last Wednesday,
July 26th.
The funeral is tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We're sending a nice big bouquet of flowers.
Good.
Olivet was born in 1910 in Leavenworth. She was a seamstress for Youth Craft, member of St. Peter's Church. She had 13 grandchildren.
Wow.
And 22 great-grandchildren.
As many of you might remember, Olivet was someone that we stumbled into by accident when we were trying to call some kid with an oversized head that had the world's largest kid helmet,
right,
football helmet. And we dialed the wrong number and got in touch with this wonderful old lady who kept us on the line for like a half an hour the first time we called her, and we became friends.
We ended up buying her a TV and buying her a satellite dish.
Right.
And we hadn't called her in recent years because I think a couple of months ago, one day we finally did try to call because
right,
we were afraid that if we call, we would get this news.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'll all say a prayer for Olivet Spellman.
Yeah.
And I don't know how come we're not mentioning the obit.
I don't understand that either.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like getting that good press.
I know. Sometimes it just doesn't happen.
Is anybody going to the ratings party tonight?
Are you?
Well, I probably should.
Yeah. Yeah, I was planning on it.
So was I. But I want to see Dennis Miller.
Yeah.
I want to see the football game tonight.
Well, the football games, we're going to be on in during the important part of that football game anyway, but you would be able to get some of his snappy repartee.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking about going. I'm thinking about making a cameo.
Yeah.
Just showing up just very briefly.
Why don't we go and turn the TV up at the place?
Yeah. Well, because then we're with all the people from here, though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still, if you show up and turn the TV up, it's better than not showing up at all.
All right. You think I should go?
Well, you always tell me I should go when I ask you if I
know,
should.
But you didn't go to one of these last couple of things.
No, go. Why don't you go home? I mean, it's not like it's a big deal. We go there for 15 minutes. It's the same people.
Yeah.
Nobody really, I don't think it's like it used to be, frankly. I think we've worked with these people long enough where it's not like where we used to have to go or we'd be in trouble.
And they're not real parties.
No, they're not.
I mean, it's not like a real...
No.
Like when we used to have a ratings party.
Right.
Have a ratings party.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have ratings parties. We'd have them the day that the ratings came out.
And they would last...
We'd have them, and win or lose, we'd have them.
They would last all day.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And into the night.
The one where we had the best ratings, it was in the summertime one year, and it went from 11 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock the next morning. That was the best one
that's
ever.
That's a party. Well, I guess I should show up.
I think you should show up
and say hello.
You enjoy going to him.
I know. My life revolves around football.
I know.
And there's a game on tonight, and it's Dennis Miller's first game. Mm-hmm. And
it's pretty exciting that Dennis Miller's going to be, I'll tell you one thing. I saw Dennis Miller on The Tonight Show last week, and I laugh at everything Dennis Miller says. I really think he's the most, right up with Chris Rock, is one of a brilliantly funny comedian.
I would agree with that.
But they have the Leno audience in there, and the Leno audience is...
What? It's like they bust over the Arsenio audience.
Oh,
now.
Just the Burbank.
To be on Jay Leno.
The island of Moronco, just all sitting out there. And he was saying some very funny things, and it really was lost on the audience. And that worried me just a little bit, because I said to myself, they're going to blame Dennis Miller if the ratings don't skyrocket. They're going to blame Dennis Miller.
Well, the ratings at least at first will skyrocket, because everybody will turn it on tonight to see what he has to say. And then, like always, if the games are good, people will watch.
Mm-hmm.
And if the games suck, then they'll blame Dennis Miller.
Well, I hope they give him a good long run, because I'll tell you right now, he is just a naturally funny guy.
Mm-hmm. What worries me is that everything I've read about Dennis Miller, I read something in the newspaper yesterday about him when he was at the Hall of Fame in Canton,
mm-hmm,
where they were asking him about doing the games, and his quotes were all along, and we'll paraphrase here, but his quotes were, I'm a big fan, I think I know about as much about football as any big fan does, but I don't have nearly the guts to play the game.
Yeah, it's what he did on the Tonight Show.
And I don't have the insight that these great warriors have.
These are gladiators, man.
Who play the game. And the only reason that even brought up a red flag with me is that
You don't hear a guy like Al Michaels apologizing that he never played football, yet he's an announcer.
I agree. I totally agree. Like, I think that's lip service for the critics. Al Michaels doesn't have the critics that Dennis Miller is facing right
now. And Al Michaels is a professional sportscaster.
Right, right. That's what he's saying.
You know, you get the, you can be a guy with skinny arms and be a professional sportscaster.
Yeah, but still, it's really, when you boil it down, it's the same thing. It's two guys who never played football.
Right.
You know, what's amazing is 15, 20 years ago, you didn't have the ex-jock as the heir apparent to the broadcast booth.
Right.
It didn't happen. You had a sportscaster and you had a color guy.
Right.
You didn't. You know, the first guys ever to do it were Frank Gifford and Pat Summerall. Those were the very first guys.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
Kathy, imagine what hell that guy's going through right now. Imagine that first day when he gets up and he realizes that she's still there.
Right.
I mean, when he wakes up and he looks over and she's still there, and when 7 o'clock comes, or whatever time the car comes to take her away to the show, when he realizes she's still there, and then when it's 9 o'clock, when it was probably prime BM, J-O, do whatever you want in the house time. Suddenly, poor Giff, and he's walking around in his house coat.
J-O time.
And she's there.
Hi, honey. It's
hey.
It's great to have you at home, Kathy.
What are you doing up there, Frank Gifford?
Just my morning routine, sweetie.
Well, your morning routine has changed today. Come downstairs. I want you to cook me breakfast.
FNC?
Meanwhile, he's up there feverishly trying to get the jerk on.
He's up there thinking,
Wyatt Tittle, Kyle Rose,
Frank Gifford,
Sam Huff.
Frank Gifford, come
Sam
down
Huff.
Here.
Sam, I'll be right there, darling.
No, I want you right there now. I want you to make me eggs.
Lee Sherman. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Alan Ameche. The greatest game ever played. Oh, God.
Andy Robustelli. That'll do it.
Andy Robustelli.
Alex Webster. There you go.
Alex Webster. Oh, God. Oh, God.
She comes and catches him.
Oh, man. No makeup on for her. Hair really looking like Phyllis Diller.
Meanwhile, he's just sitting there with a gigantic stiffy on the toilet.
His morning routine.
Hi, Kathy. Good morning.
His secret stash of magazines.
The Playboy with Susan Johnson.
Sure. Oh, Susan.
Oh, his days are numbered now.
Poor Giff. Poor Giff. Call 100 times. Right now, here we go. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hola.
I am the 100th caller.
Yes, you are. What's your name, my friend?
Bob.
Bobby, where are you from?
Frederick, Maryland.
Bob, enjoy your nachos. Taco Bell. Try Taco Bell's new chips with nacho cheese sauce. But wait, there's more. You've also won the beach prize pack from Blockbuster Video. Head to Blockbuster to rent the beach. Guaranteed to be there on VHS and also available on DVD. That's from Blockbuster Video.
Video.
Are you ready to go for the big money?
Oh, yeah.
Here we go with $500 online. Secret sound number 6, a common everyday sound. We'll play it for you now. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like.
Dutch beat.
Caller, name this sound.
There's the sound. Poor Giff. You know, used to have it most of the morning where he wouldn't have to be in the coffin. And I wonder if she keeps him locked in there most of the day.
And the odds are in my favor.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
For $500, what's the sound?
I'm going to say a toaster oven opening.
No.
I can't even speak.
No. Thank you. And don't forget, almost every guest is a clue for you.
Oh, Kathy. Do I have to get back in the coffin?
Yes, get back in the coffin, Frank Gifford.
But
I caught you. I caught you in the bathroom, J-O-ing.
But, Kathy, when you left the house, I had 5 to 6 hours every day of total freedom. I would put on my old Giants videos. I would get my jerk on.
You get back in that coffin, Frank Gifford. There'll be no more getting the jerk on. There'll be no more looking at your old films. Your game films.
Can I at least go to get my skin stretched today?
Yes, you can do that. So we'll look good out in public, Frank Gifford. But I have nothing to do. And look at my Phyllis Diller hair.
And I have to have a nice BM now.
Oh,
I'm Kathy Lee having a nice BM. My morning BM that I would normally have when I'd be at the studio.
I would have that.
Believe me, it's not daisies.
He walks by and he goes, Jesus, Kathy, something die in there?
Oh, Frank Gibbard, I always spared you from my morning BM. It was only my staff at Live that used to smell that.
And she calls him in to wipe her.
Yes. Come on, Frank Gibbard.
All right, my darling.
Here, take this wet one.
I love every part of you.
Ah, there you are.
Well, I would do anything for you because I cheated on you and I'll never be able to repay you because you'll never let me forget it.
I'm presenting to you, Frank Gifford.
I'll never be able to live this. Jesus Christ. Kathy.
Thank you, Frank Gifford.
Kathy, wow.
Here's another wet one. I know you need it.
Kathy, you might want to think about a courtesy flush.
Oh, it's our house, Frank Gifford. My smell is your smell. Don't worry about it.
And, of course, he's got to lie to her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kath. Great having you at home.
Great to be here, Frank Gifford. And come on now, you must have smelled worse than those old locker rooms. All right.
I don't think so, Kathy.
Well, what to do? I think I'll go back to bed. Make me lunch in about an hour, Frank Gifford.
Kathy, would you like to turn on Channel 7 and watch Regis?
Oh, absolutely not. He's probably there with his wife, the old fossil. Watch that show fall now that I'm not there.
You're right about that, Kathy. Just like the way Monday Night Football fell when I left.
That's right. Absolutely, Frank Gifford. Well, maybe not, Frank Gifford.
And maybe not, Kathy.
Yes, you're right. We're pathetic, and now we have no more fame.
We have each other.
Oh, that's not enough, Frank Gifford.
We have our stink.
I don't think Donald Trump will ever let me on his jet again.
We have codes and casts and our dogs.
I only like them for the television show. I hope the nanny just keeps them out of my sight.
What's the dogs' names again?
Chablis and Chardonnay.
Can I tell you something?
I don't like them either. They were a prop.
Kathy, can I tell you something now that you're not on TV, that you can't say it?
Yes, go ahead, Frank Gifford.
Those are fag names for our dogs. I want their names to be Jack and Billy.
No, Frank Gifford. They're my dogs, Chablis and Chardonnay.
No, when you leave the house every day,
yes,
I've been calling them Jack and Billy.
Oh, no, Frank Gifford. Oh, life is hell. I want to go back on the show, but they won't let me back in.
And we've been playing the peanut butter game. While you've been going, Jack and Billy and I.
Is that why there were all those peanut butter stains in your Y-fronts, Frank Gifford? Is that why? Is that why?
Yes. Yes, Kathy. Hey, I've got an idea how we could spend some time.
What's that, Frank Gifford?
How about if I read you again all of the great articles that you clipped out of the newspaper about your final episode?
Oh, that would be wonderful, Frank Gifford. Read me all my fantastic press. That would be delightful, Frank Gifford. You're so very thoughtful for an elderly man.
Kathy Lee Gifford probably won't make pancakes this morning from the basket of kitchen goodies.
Oh, you read like such a football player, Frank
Gifford. Her two children gave her on her final Live with Regis and Kathy Lee show Friday.
Can't you read it with a little more enthusiasm, Frank Gifford?
Husband Frank Gifford is the great cook in the family, says Kathy Lee.
Oh, I don't want to hear this. I was just saying that to be nice. I know you can't cook. You can't even... You've lost your sense of smell and most of your vision and your hearing and all of your hearing.
What?
I said all of your hearing, Frank Gifford.
What?
You've made me angry. Get back in the coffin.
Oh, Kathy, don't make me get in the coffin.
Get back in the glass coffin and get back in there now.
I never have to get in the coffin during daytime.
No, you're going to have to get back in the coffin because I'm the queen of this house now.
Oh, Kathy,
now,
please.
Now get back in there.
Kathy, please.
Get back in there.
Kathy, please.
Nope, you're going to stay in there for the rest of the afternoon.
Please.
Frank Gifford, if you keep whining, I'll put the glass coffin out on the patio where it's hot and humid.
I'll tell you something, you bitch.
Bitch.
When your show is on, I watched Maury.
Okay, Frank Gifford. You see this key to the glass coffin?
Yes.
Watch this. I just swallowed it, Frank Gifford. You'll have to wait till that comes out of my morning BM.
I asked Barbara Walters.
You did not.
I did too.
I'm going to leave you in there forever, and I won't feed you, and you'll die.
Joe London gave me a BJ.
Oh, he's totally snapped his cap, Frank Gifford. I hate you. I hate you, Frank Gifford.
I had a giant four-way with all the women on The View.
Oh, no.
Even Star Jones.
The Star Jones, no.
Anal in the dookie.
Oh, no, Frank Gifford. I think he's going senile.
I'm not going senile, you bitch.
Stop it, you bastard. Stop it, you crazy son of a bitch.
The Giffords at home.
Bravo.
Oh, it's just the first day.
Oh, man. I really, by Christmas, I will be curious to see. Because you know she won't get a Christmas special.
Oh, by Christmas, by Halloween.
I think you might be right.
By Halloween, poor Giff.
Mm-hmm.
He might as well be sent away to an asylum to live.
You know, it's in a different way, but these people are very similar to the way Tom and Roseanne used to be. Tom Arnold, Roseanne Barr, the way they used to just crave publicity. Mm-hmm. I think there's certain celebrities, they just can't function without it.
That's right.
Kathy Lee fits into that category. That's what she wants. She doesn't have what she wanted more than anything else.
Kathy Lee says it would hurt her more than leaving the show if she isn't invited back as a guest host.
See, and I don't think there is a snowball's chance in hell.
Hey, Kathy.
Yes, Frank Gifford?
I opened that casket with my penis.
Oh, you did. It is morning, after all.
I was talking to... who's that producer you hate?
Michael Kelvin, that bastard.
You know what he said?
What did he say, Frank Gifford?
No effing way you're ever coming back.
Oh, no.
Never.
Stop it. Stop it. You never have a bitch. Stop it.
He said he'd rather have Mary Lou Henner on.
No!
Or Howie Mandel.
Oh, no. What about Michael Eisner? What did he say? He loves me. I make my goo-goo eyes, and I look at him in that worshiping way that makes him excited and aroused. He must want me back.
Told me you're a cold bitch.
Oh, no, Frank Gifford, my life is over.
He told me that, but we were both being manually relieved.
Oh, no.
On our last vacation to Disney World.
No.
Yeah, don't you know that?
What about my other friend, Mr. Donald Trump? What did Donald Trump say? Surely he might finance a television show for me or some sort of starring vehicle, Frank Gifford.
He was asking me if you're tight.
Donald Trump was?
And I told him the truth. You could park a Humvee down there.
No, Frank Gifford, don't be so cruel to me. You got it out of your glass coffin by opening it with your penis, and now I can't control you anymore. And
you know what else?
What, Frank Gifford?
I talked to your boyfriend last night, Kevin Costner.
Kevin. Kevin still loves me.
He called and he asked how you were doing.
Did you tell him I was fine?
You know what I told him?
What'd you tell him, Frank Gifford?
I chopped you into little bits.
Oh, no, Frank Gifford, no. You lied.
I put you in a wood chipper.
Well, how come he's not here? How come he's not coming to my rescue? Everybody's forgotten me. No. I'll have to go out on the road with my ugly sisters.
After I told him that I'd cut you up and then put you in the wood chipper, he said, hey, I was only friends with her anyway because she would talk about my lame movies on her TV show.
No! Frank Gifford, stop being so cruel to
not
me.
Not true.
Stop it, you son of a bitch.
I'm not hurting you.
You're hurting me. You are more powerful, and now I don't have my show to make you a little mad.
And furthermore, I got something to tell you, bitch.
What's that, Frank Gifford?
You can make me some effing eggs.
We'll do, quarterback. I mean running back.
Scrub my toilet, you bitch.
Absolutely, Frank Gifford.
And then why don't you come over here and yodel the old man's cacti?
You're the boss, Frank Gifford. You're the boss.
And Cody wants a hooker.
Done and done. Done and done. I'll take care of it. I'll call Melissa Rivers. No problem.
I after Mom. Joan. She's a real dog, but boy, does she work in the sack like you.
You're so cruel to me, Frank. Here are your eggs.
Well, now I can finally tell you what I really think, because you don't have the national forum to go on and talk about how I banged a stewardess and everybody should feel bad for you.
But, Frank Gifford, I thought you loved me. I thought you were going to drive your little Mercedes convertible into the abutment one night.
It was bull-ass.
Oh, no.
I don't have a dime to my name, you bitch.
Oh, no, Frank Gifford.
I'm with you for the money.
Stop it, you crazy son of a bitch. Stop it.
And furthermore, I've been banging Leslie Visser.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and Melissa Stark.
Well, all right, Frank
and
Gifford.
And Susie Colbert.
I've just about had it. There's something I need to tell you, Frank Gifford.
What's that, Kathy?
Regis did it with me every morning that we did the show.
I know you're lying.
Every single morning.
I know you're lying because I know he's fagged with Michael Gelman.
Oh, no. You know my secrets.
Sure I do, Kathy.
Oh, no. What am I going to do, Frank Gifford, now that I don't have my television show? What am I going to do?
Stop playing your stupid goddamn records in this house.
Oh, no. My life is over. My life is over. I only have one thing that I can look forward to.
What's that, Kathy?
You're going to die soon, old man. You're going to die soon. And when you do, I'll be the perfect grieving widow. And I'll get all the publicity that I crave. It won't be long now. I'd say a year, two tops. And the cameras will be back on our front lawn as I put on my black dress, tight-fitting to enhance my ample bosom. And I play the grieving mourning widow to you, you backpack.
Well, then I'll tell you one thing, bitch.
What's that, Frank Gifford? Oh, our first fight.
I got crabs from Susan Johnson.
No!
And that means if I got crabs, you got crabs.
Oh, I was wondering. I thought that was just an allergic reaction to my new panty liner.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Frank Gifford, I hate you. I wish you were dead.
And I wish you were dead.
Well, that's the way it'll be, then. You stay in the West Wing, and I'll stay in the East Wing.
That's fine with me, you big C.
I'll see you later, Frank Gifford.
I'll see you later, you dumb B-I-T-C-H.
Oh, no.
Free at last. Free at last.
I'm going to call my mommy.
I'm going to call Phil Simms. I'm going to call all my giant buddies. Hey, guys, want to go get laid? Want to go pound them back?
Stop it, Frank Gifford.
This is Frank Gifford. I might be 70, but my penis is only 20.
No! I'm going to jump out the window.
God, please do.
Oh, I can't. I love myself too much. I'm going to stand over here and hold my breath until I turn blue. Oh, I can't do that here. That might enhance my laugh line. I can't do that. What can I do? I can't do anything.
Oh, that reminds me, darling. Your plastic surgeon wants you to call him back.
Oh, thank you, Frank. Hand me the phone. Right away. Get out of here. Meow.
Meow.
The Giffords at home.
Okay, there's the there's the first day of the gifts at home.
It'll get worse and worse.
Oh, yes.
Much.
Absolutely. Only the first day.
But really, I do think that guy waking up this morning.
Oh, sure. He's probably a little slice of hell.
Jesus Christ. You know, at least he's used to knowing that he has that little island every day.
Right.
Where he was going to be away from her.
I bet they're not at home. I bet they're traveling. I bet they're traveling all over the place, like staying in a hotel. So the reality doesn't hit home. As soon as they come home, I'd love to know if they're actually at their place in Connecticut.
No, you're probably right. They probably are at some exotic location.
Sure, where they can have their separate rooms.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buddies.
Hey, buddy.
I think a true indication of how the show feels about Kathy Lee are the going-away gifts they gave her on Thursday.
I agree. That is right on. That is so true. The mug that she got from the staff.
She got singing fish. Three of them.
Regis gave, you know, Billy the Big Mouse bass or whatever that thing.
Yeah, the cheapest possible gifts.
Regis gave her three of them that sing Regis Philbin songs.
I know. It's so sad.
Right, they just gave her gags. It says in the newspaper that the real gift that Regis gave her was a Tiffany silver frame with a photo of her in her wedding gown, and it was inscribed, "We were better than most marriages, and more fun than all of them."
But still cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
How about Letterman's jet ski?
Yeah, see, Letterman's the one that really wants to get into her pants.
You know, if she really gets the jet ski, because that's right. One thing Regis kept saying on the air.
Sure.
Hey, you've not received that jet ski from Letterman yet, have you?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if you're talking about dollars invested to what? You know, the Tiffany frame, how much do you think that costs? But the jet ski, that's what, like $2,500 or something like that, right?
Oh, a jet ski's like double that, like $5,000 for a jet ski, right? And how much does that frame cost to be like?
Yeah, really, Regis.
And how do you know that he just didn't, like, go to Walmart and put the frame in a Tiffany box?
Absolutely.
I mean, really, who can tell the difference?
She probably could.
Right.
Yeah, she'd know.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to him about that. Thank you.
Hold on.
Cletus call.
You know, we can't, Cletus.
It's gonna be May.
We can't talk about that.
We can't talk about that because we are living now in a world of censorship.
You were just deleted off the air. Are you still there?
Nope,
He's gone. He's gone. He's just been deleted.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Which day was it that they had Harrison Ford on last week?
I think Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, she did say that they were traveling around Europe on Monday when she left.
Of course.
In a hotel.
All right.
Together.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Get right to the hotels where she's going to be treated like a queen and they won't have to deal with the reality of an ordinary existence. It's the fairy tale continuing.
Well, then what we have just painted for you will be the picture. The first day they get back, mm-hmm. the first day that they have to really get to living together.
Of course, she gives that that thing about, hey, we're going down to eat crabs all weekend, Mom and Dad. Yeah. Drink beer and eat crabs, when she's really like planning a trip to some of the finest hotels of Europe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Probably still is happening in the hotel, though, anyway.
Well, I think this is just, you know, as soon as they get home, back to reality.
Yeah, because when you're in a hotel,
right.
you've got, you know, first of all, they don't just have a hotel room
right.
like we do when we travel with our families. They have suites, and I'm sure that there's, you know, Cody has his suite, Cassidy has hers, Giff has his.
His coffin.
Connie Lee has
his coffin, but they just rest his coffin like the traditional Transylvanian coffin up in the corner. In the morning, the maid comes and opens it up. Oh, thank you.
Good morning, Senorita. Thank you.
Mr. Gifford, it's a lovely day. Your wife is already on the beach. Where would you like to go today?
You know what? I just think I'll grab a cup of coffee and maybe you could just lock me back up at the coffin. Kathy doesn't normally let me out until 3 in the afternoon.
See, Mr. Gifford, I will get you a cup of coffee and put you back into the coffin.
Ah, that's great coffee. All right, Senorita. Well, I'm ready.
Mr. Gifford, how about my teeth? What about my teeth?
Never marry anybody named Epstein.
Okay. Goodbye, Mr. Gifford.
Goodbye, Senorita.
That's the way he whiles away his days in the corner in the coffin.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
This is Don and Mike?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Eddie from Reston. Last night, did you see on Millionaire, Regis absolutely hosed some woman out of $200,000.
Really?
Yeah, this woman, she'd gotten up to 64, and the question was getting harder. She used up all her lifelines, and she was saying, you know, the reason no woman's ever won $1 million is because they're not like men. They don't go for it, and I want to go for it. So she got to 125, really thinking through it, like 10 minutes, which state did 18, 19, and 20th presidents all come from, and she figured it out. It was Ohio, and she went up to $250,000. So she's going for $250,000. And the question is, which country was the last one entered that was led into the United Nations? It was Andorra and something, and Tonga and Paloma or something.
Yeah, who knows that?
Oh, who does? Well, she spent 5 minutes working out. Finally, she goes, I've seen this. It's Tonga. And he goes, oh, this is so much money. You're risking so much. Do you really want to do this? She goes, it's Tonga. I know it. I'm going for it. It's Tonga. He goes, think about this. No, really, really think about it. You know how you know Regis is giving clues like, you know, this is the wrong answer. And she goes, it's Tonga. And he goes, it's too much money. It's too much. You go all the way back down to 32. She goes, well
let's hold it. Did she get, what did she say?
Well, she just kept saying, I've seen it. I know this. I just know
right,
it.
The issue that Regis talked her out of going for the money?
He talked her out of going to it. So he says, well, she says, let me think about it again. She goes, well, you know, this other one, Paloma, maybe it's that. He goes, oh, Paloma, is that your final answer? Like, he's totally got her going. She goes, okay, that's it. And he goes, I don't know how to tell you this. It was Tonga. The one that she wanted to pick. And she just looked at him. She goes,
well, you know,
That's what I was going to say.
Let me say in his defense, it sounds like he was trying to talk her into keeping $250,000, and
she was up. She had 125. She was going.
He's whatever the figure is. He's as dumb as you and me.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't know the answer.
No, if she's trying to take his hints, that's a bad way to go anyway.
Well, but he spent easily 3 minutes. I mean, he just kept saying, "Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?" I mean, she kept saying, "Yes, I want it. I want it," and then she backed off. And then the first time she changed her answer, he goes, is that your final answer? And she jumped in. So she stood up. She goes, I had it. And her husband comes over and he's kissing her. Oh, you did well. And she, you know, she shook her shoulders away from him. And she goes, no, I had it. And she stormed off. I mean, she
really?
Was furious.
So you mean a lady walked off the Millionaire show last night?
Yeah, I mean, she was just, yeah, she just stormed off. I mean, she wasn't shaking hands with Regis or anything.
How much did she end up winning?
She went down to 32. She had 125.
Well, as much as I would tell you that Regis might have exerted his incredible charm and influence on the woman, if you're, you know, if you're committed to your answer, you're committed to your answer. You don't let the, you know, the moron affect you one way or the other.
Yeah, well, she, you know, she was committed to it for several, you know, for several minutes. And, I mean, he talked her out of it. I mean, he just jobbed her. I mean, if she'd gotten it right, it was $250,000 she went down to. She goes, I had it. I mean, so that's what she was saying. I had it. I said it.
I thought you said she got it wrong.
She did. I mean, she changed it. But she had said Tonga, Tonga, Tonga. And every time she said.
It's impossible to follow that story the way that idiot
well,
was telling
what did it. Well, I've got it in a nutshell, mm-hmm. and you can tell it in 18 seconds. That guy decided to give us every single second of it. What it was she had picked out the correct answer. And then Regis spent too much time saying, are you sure? Are you sure? Kind of giving her the impression that she might be wrong.
Right.
Well, when she finally changed her answer to another one, he immediately said, final answer? And kind of, I guess, his body language indicated to her that that one might be correct. And then she said, yes, that is my final answer. And then it turned out to be the wrong answer. But I mean, it's.
Well, thank you for explaining that to me. That's funny. That's the way you just told it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the guy was going on. I mean, it was just way too much information. Mm-hmm. But Regis, you know, the deal is, it's the contestant's fault. It's not Regis's.
In
I mean, if you know your answer, you stick with it.
And he doesn't have the answers.
No.
No. He doesn't know until they pop up on the screen. And you know this. He's as dumb as a box of rocks.
Absolutely.
And I can only imagine the amount of time that they have to spend before a show working out the pronunciations with him.
Oh, absolutely.
And I bet on his screen, mm-hmm. it's all done phonetically.
Yeah, sure.
Like hooked on phonics on his side of the screen.
I swear to God, it's Bosnia. It's Bosnia. Come on now. How are you?
They write Boz, and then in parentheses they put Brian Bosworth, because that's the only way that Regis will remember Brian Bosworth used to be the Boz.
All right. Was it Herzegovina or Bosworthnia?
I bet it's Boz. Parentheses, Brian Bosworth, knee, K-N-E-E.
Right. With a picture of a knee.
And then a giant A.
Yeah, with like A-H-H-H-H. Ah.
Yeah, right. Boz.
Boz, knee.
Ah.
I've got it. Okay, we can cut the scene now. Fantastic.
Boz, knee, ah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
What's up, guys?
Hey, my friend.
Hey, I ain't going to spend a lot of time on that, it wants to be a millionaire thing, but it wasn't as dramatic as, Jesse James ever said it was.
Yeah, I didn't think it would be.
All right, thank you.
Hey, I got another question, though. Me and a buddy of mine are having an argument. Can you explain how they determine ratings?
No. Welcome to, and this has nothing to do with our radio station censoring us, the ratings company will not allow any radio stations to talk about how they garner their information.
We can't talk to you about that, whether you're having an argument or not.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Hey, guys, take it easy, man.
Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, buddy. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hello. All right. I'll try this one. Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Buddy.
Hey, so does Joy being on today, does that mean that they've picked her to replace Kathy Lee?
No, during one part of that show this morning, he said, you'll see different people here for the next few weeks, perhaps months.
Mm-hmm.
He's digging it. He is loving it.
Of course.
He sees live with just Regis, and he's probably all excited about it.
Right. You know, and I'm sure, speaking of the ratings, he's waiting for the ratings to come back
mm-hmm.
so that he can go to ABC or whoever and say, look.
Absolutely.
Look. I never needed a. Look at
this,
that.
Huh?
Huh?
Take a look at this.
Huh?
Look at this, Gilman.
Look at that.
Oh, man. It's a beautiful region.
Oh, it sure is. That's live with me. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Deadline.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys, it's Fez.
Hey.
Can you buzz for a minute?
Hi, Fez.
Buzz is right here, Fez.
Hey, Buzz.
Yes, Fez.
Hey, Buzz, I bought that Aerobaton last week.
Did you?
I wonder if I could come over to your house and work out with it.
Oh, no, thank you, Fez. I appreciate the offer.
You mean Jake's stick?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. The Aerobaton.
Hey, guys.
What?
I got something else to say.
What?
I invented gay, so don't edit May.
Okay.
It's gonna be May.
Oh, God.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hi, this is Don.
Yes, and Mike.
Hey, buddy, and Mike, and Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
This is John from Ocean City. Hey, Don, I just want to tell you, it's not worth it. Tell Ken his New York gig's not working, man. Since you guys got up there, it's like all of a sudden you're into CBS.
Don't you like it when the guy starts out with all the, you know, say, hey, let me tell you something right now, and then I'm totally confused what he's talking about.
I'm just saying, New York gig's not worth it. You're in the CBS Rat Pack, man. All of a sudden the censorship shows up, and, you know, everybody's coming down on you, man.
and they give you this project to do with go with live New York. I mean, go with a delayed
audience. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm not going to take career advice from a guy in Ocean City.
I'm sorry, Doc.
I'm just not.
But I just tell you, it ain't worth it, man. You got too many fans across the country.
It ain't worth it. New York is the biggest market in America.
But not for the CBS Rat Pack.
It doesn't only apply to New York. It applies to the entire network.
I know, but I'm just saying that your whole show is based on the spontaneous interaction of your fans across the country. And here in New York's delayed, you know, with this stuff. That's a big brick wall right there.
What are you talking about? What are you doing?
You don't know the first thing about it. How do you know? You know, how do you know that any day show that you're listening to, unless you call and participate, is live?
Exactly. That's what I mean. Your fans love this live interaction.
Hold on, but no. Answer my question.
You didn't hear him.
If you were not calling me and Mike right now to know that you were speaking to us, how would you know that the show you were listening to is live?
This is a very good point. I apologize.
You would not?
I'm humbled. I just don't like this censorship crap, you know?
Okay, none of us do, but it would be happening if we were on in New York or not.
Yeah, that's the primary issue. And
I got you.
That's where we disagree with you, because this doesn't involve New York, essentially. This is the entire show all over the country. That's what this applies to.
That's what they're doing now.
So whether we're on in New York has nothing to do with it.
I appreciate the career advice, though, from a guy in Ocean City.
Hey, Don, your neighbor, watch it now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Watch out.
A neighbor, that means I'm moving. If you're my neighbor.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, ride. F you.
Okay, Don, bye-bye.
Jesus.
Bye, buddy.
He's your friend.
Jesus Christ.
Everybody's it's one of the third or fourth group's phone calls where I'm really just not understanding what people are trying to say.
Me either, Mike.
I don't get it.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I have a special message from Satchmo. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Satchmo.
Yeah, I was just calling to let you and the Don and Mike radio audience know that I'll be leaving.
Where are you going, Satchmo?
Well, you know, I believe this gig is done. It's run its course, so...
Hey, that's self-editing. Way to go.
How about that?
I just want to tell everyone, be kind, be gentle, and I hope the next person has the nicest audience as you were to me.
Do you think there's a chance that you could give us one more? Before you go?
Yeah, I think to myself, what an ugly green show. Let me see you swinging.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. That never happens.
Never.
When a regular caller calls in to retire the calls himself.
Never.
That never happens. Good editing. Hello, last call. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
That old black magic called love.
What's going on? What?
What is wrong with people?
I don't know what that is. I don't know. We have to do a break. I do know that. I know that because I just looked at my watch.
There it is.
Tell me that it's time for a break.
Because the clock's broken.
Because the clock has fallen off the wall. It's busted. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Also in
got the dirt.
This big program, Don and Mike, who are down at WJFK, I actually know these guys.
Mm-hmm. So are they going to do dirt on you?
I'm hoping they've forgotten. So anyway, they'll be with us. Plus, we're going to include your phone calls, and it's T-shirt Tuesday. Where's the T-shirt?
Do they know that seriously that you were like the next David Letterman, that they handpicked you? And they gave you a daytime show, but then they found out you were a bit too caustic for blue-haired ladies during the day.
We want you to know, Steve, we are rooting for you, man. We are pulling for you. There's not a day that goes by where we don't want to see you succeed, baby.
So we're not going to talk about butter? We're out of time. Hey, Don and Mike, thank you very much.
Hey, God damn it, you're taking us off?
I'd like to have you back, but I think you're not going to... We should point out that when Don and Mike from WJFK and much of the world were with us just a couple of minutes ago, we had to say goodbye real fast. That's because we have got the very latest in digital equipment, and they run commercials at a certain time, whether we're through talking or not. So that's why we got a little cut off. Sorry. Anyway, it was delightful to have them with us.
This is the story
from the creators of Marky in the Middle. It's the Don and Mike Show.
They never called back, did they, Fox News Channel?
No, oddly enough, they never had us on again.
Huh. They never called back. Hello,
Don and Mike show.
I'll tell you a story about a guy named Steve. I'm sorry about the message, but my songs have got to leave. I screwed up once on a song about Amy, so I'll censor myself and retire in shamey.
Another guy who's backing out of calling the show now.
Yeah.
Ooh. We'll find something new. Thanks, guys.
All right.
We know you will.
Thank you.
We have faith.
You don't think that guy and the Satchmo guy are the same guy, do you?
I think they all live in the same house. I think every guy that's...
Along with the Release the Hounds guy,
every guy
who sings the songs about you.
Every single guy that's ever called this show and done a bit on this show, they all live in one giant group home.
Hello, Don and Mike. They have eggs on Wednesday.
They do indeed.
With Tom Gavin.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I've got a complaint about your home webpage and too exposed.
First off, we don't have a webpage.
Oh, well, the thing that you've got on the computer that says who you are and what you look like?
That's not ours, though.
That's not us.
We have nothing to do with that. We absolutely have no input into that whatsoever. As a matter of fact, if we wanted to be difficult guys, we could make them stop doing that.
Well, I tell you what, two best-looking women on there are probably your wives. I was wondering why they weren't on Too Exposed.
You mean the triple X-rated website?
Yeah.
Well, actually, douchebag, if you want to be technical about it, my wife is on Too Exposed. If you click there, you can see pictures of my wife during her birthday party.
I'm going to have to go back and check then.
Yes, you will.
I guess you are.
No, most of them don't look like they'll be able to hit a gym in their mid-30s. Both your wives looked, for two women in their early to mid-30s, looked pretty darn good.
Well, that's wonderful.
Wondering why they were married to you.
That's a wonderful
And what
compliment.
Was the last part?
Ah, you said a nice one.
Why they were married to you.
Well, that's a compliment for our wives.
Ah, I was thinking it was the other way around.
What?
That they had you.
What?
I don't get it. What?
Say it again. Is this official guys that, like, think that they've got the goods to call the show that are calling? It's so hard.
Say it again from the beginning. Like, what?
Okay. I said I would have thought it was a compliment to you guys to have two outstanding women like that.
Yeah, you know what? And now, you know, it took an hour, but what you're calling with a very nice thought. You're saying that you think our wives are very nice looking, and I accept that compliment.
Bottom line of the comment, though, is that our wives are nice looking. He is surprised that our wives are with us.
Yes, but, sometimes when, you've been to parties, I've been to parties where I say, hey, boy, you married up, type of thing, and I take that as a compliment.
Right.
You do not.
No, I don't. I think my wife got a good deal when she married me.
But she did.
Whatever. Thanks for the good show.
Really? No. What? Not whatever. not whatever. Do you want to have a beauty contest to see who's better looking, you or me?
45.
I'm 41.
I'm 20.
On an 8-minute mile, lift my own weight, plus about 6 miles.
I run about a 9-minute mile. I'm at the gym every day.
I run about 2-minute mile.
I was at the gym with my wife all this weekend, as a matter of fact.
Outstanding. Then you ought to have those pictures taken off, because they make you look like Porky Pig.
Well, listen, why don't you just go F yourself?
Yeah, I prefer women. Or at least one.
Right, because you're so handsome. Why don't you send me a handsome picture of you so that I can tell everybody listening what a great-looking guy you are, Mr. 8-Minute Mile.
Yeah, right.
Oh, come on.
Now, I'd have to have your address. You can't give that out.
10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia.
Hang on. 800 Street.
Jesus Christ. 10800 Main Street.
Got it. Fairfax.
Fairfax, Virginia.
I can get the zip code.
22030.
And just Don and Mike.
Right.
Okay. I'll give it.
That's the real one. We normally say North Pole.
Mm-hmm. No, but really, I gave him the real address just so if I ever remember this call, I'll remember to say,
yeah,
I did give the guy the opportunity, and he never sent in the picture of how incredibly good-looking he is.
Gifted.
To call us and bust our balls.
Thanks for the show, guys. You're sounding good today, no matter what the earlier caller said. Take care. Bye-bye.
It's one of those days. It's one of those days where,
douchebag!
I just shake my head in total confusion.
I don't know
sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to decipher it, and you don't know. Some of what he said could be construed as a compliment, but most of what he said...
No, it wasn't a compliment. I mean, if you want to look at it that way, he was saying our wives are hot.
He was saying our wives are nice,
But
you know, it's amazing that they're with us.
Right.
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 Because he's so scary good looking.
Right.
And he's so popular. Right? Well, I tell you what. Why don't you give me your website to all of the people who are fans of yours who have made websites about you? Oh, that's right. There aren't any.
Oh.
That's right. Jesus Christ.
What's wrong with people?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. There's a picture of you two in an article about the whole May thing on the front of Fugly.com.
Well, all right.
It kind of tries to explain the whole...
But you know we can't...
It's gonna be May.
We can't get into that.
We are unable to get into that subject because we are living in a total environment of censorship. Thank you. No more. Goodbye. My God. No.
I love that music.
Yeah, it's great.
What's wrong with the volume on the phones now?
What happened?
I don't know.
Ah,
there it is.
There you go. Hold on a second. I'll talk to my honey-cunny anyway.
Discuss our time at the gym this weekend. And I had other weekend stuff to tell you about.
Please stay.
Something
up.
Involving our trips to Gold's Gym this weekend.
Ah, very good.
They got a great, great... new thing at Gold's Gym that I absolutely love.
You mean apparatus?
Well, it goes along with the apparatus.
Mm.
Come on.
A woman wearing a thong?
No.
Hi. Right. message or not, whatever you want.
She's not there. They got this thing where if you are either on the treadmill or you're on one of the recumbent bicycles.
Right.
Where you can play PlayStation.
Wow.
Oh, cool. They have a PlayStation hooked up to the TV that hangs from the ceiling.
That I would imagine that would require some doing, though. I mean, to actually play it, like, especially, is it just a treadmill and a recumbent bike?
I used it yesterday on the recumbent bike.
Okay, that'd probably be easier when you're in a sitting position,
right.
You know.
As I was sitting with the controller, just... back and forth, back
and
forth.
Using your legs and just doing the whole thing.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I like that.
I did love it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
Hello, Buzz. How you doing, sir?
Hi. Fine, thanks.
Hi.
Good. Yeah. Don, I was just wondering, why are you letting this censorship bother you so much? Stuff that usually just bounces off your back, you're taking a very big offense to. And I hate to see that.
Because...
what is this thing?
Because it is censorship. Because of the 15 years that Mike and I have worked together, we have never once... worked at a radio station where they just summarily would take giant hunks out of what we're doing.
Yeah, I understand it, but you're letting it affect the rest of
you. No, let me tell you something. When Don called me over the weekend, if either one of us was really letting this bother us, you know what? I got news for you. You wouldn't be listening to a live show today.
And let's be honest. What did we discuss today on the show? The first break. Maybe the first 15 minutes.
It was great. I loved your music.
And I know, because
Russian music.
We moved past that. Mm-hmm. We did a whole thing about Kathy Lee.
Right.
And now we're talking about other stuff. It's you bringing it up again.
Okay, I do apologize then, sir.
Oh, see, you're not sincere with that crap.
No, I really am.
No, you're not. You're just another... You're in a series of guys today that are just calling...
to bust balls.
Without any real, thought being put into it.
Oh, yeah, Mike, really. I've listened to you guys since you came on the air here in Hot Talk 1280.
Please, well, kiss my ass.
If I could, I would, because you're a radio guy.
Right, well, listen, I don't tell you how to cook the fries.
That's such a good example, because we actually were done with that subject.
Okay, I do apologize. I hate to bring down the show.
You know, to a certain extent, I'm really getting deep now. When I get together with my family, one of the things I've had to learn to deal with is sometimes I'll be in a perfectly good mood, mm-hmm. and someone will say something, and... I laugh at it, and then the next person says, now don't get upset about that. When I haven't gotten upset, but the fact that somebody said, don't get upset about it,
makes you get upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's kind of what this is.
Same with you. I mean, I'm sorry that you can't understand why we react passionately to the fact that we're being censored, but the truth of the matter is, except for a brief part of today's show at the very beginning, we've moved past it. The only time we've brought it up is when someone... like you, calls in to mention it.
No, I do understand that, but it seems like you're being...
No, you don't understand.
And if you really want to talk about the big picture, this has really only been a problem on the show for 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. I know. I listen every day.
Okay, so, for 3 days, we've devoted a small part of the show to discussing a problem we're having.
Okay, but that wasn't like a thorn in your ass all weekend. I know it was, because, like you said, you got called to the carpet and all the other bullshit.
Was it a thorn in your ass all weekend?
No.
Yes, it was in mine, actually.
It wasn't a thorn in my ass all weekend.
No. Wasn't a thorn in my ass all weekend.
I mean, I called management, and I had it worked out by Saturday.
Right, because I don't like anything that attracts from your show, because you have a beautiful show. You always have.
Well, then what's the point of this stupid call?
It just sounds to me like you're being, I don't know. You're covering your ass, it seems like, more than usual.
How am I covering... Okay, I'll give you the chance again.
He's so all over the place.
How am I covering my ass?
Well, it's like the caller that tried to explain to you that it was all over, and you got all over him. And
The caller that tried to do what?
Now, listen, if you're going to play ball, if you're going to come into our forum and talk about this pretty heavy stuff, I really want you to do something. Either think... Before you talk...
Okay, Mike, you're absolutely right.
Or bail out. I mean, really, if you really think you're out of your depth, which I got to tell you, it is my considered opinion that you are so far out of your depth here that you should just cut and run. But if you really want to do it, take a deep breath and really try to articulate, do something you've probably never done before. Try to articulate your thoughts.
I will take a good...
he's going to stick with it.
Rondi.
Way to go, sir. Right, stay with it.
You've given him an out. You've given him an out.
Right.
He's not taking it.
No, I
okay.
am taking it, Don. I am taking it.
Well, no, you're not taking it because I'm still hearing your voice.
Okay, I just wanted to apologize to you folks first.
Okay, so you're going to take the option to cut and run.
Yeah, because I didn't think before I called you.
Good. Okay, good.
Right.
Good. All right, good.
Thank you.
I love your show. Thank you.
Thank
I thought you.
You
were hanging up.
Jesus Christ. Good decision.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. All these guys out here trying to bust your balls today. Hey, guys, leave them alone because they will bust our balls by telling us they won't take no more calls. They'll just cut us off.
Okay.
You know?
No. We're not near that point
Everyone
yet.
Everyone is getting involved
Don't
in the
worry.
Process.
Hello,
Everyone
Don and Mike
wants
show.
To play program director.
Hello.
Jeremy Coleman, you're a pussy. Ken Stevens.
You got to stop that now.
Stop it.
You got to stop it. Jesus Christ.
Wow, my goodness.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Eureka, Kansas. You got, those people are clueless, you know? You guys are great.
Turn your radio down, please.
Can you hear it? That's
yep.
my TV.
That's your TV.
Oh, it's the TV.
No, the radio's on. The radio is down. The TV's on.
Okay, well, turn your TV down, please.
Well, I'm in the kitchen now. Can you hear
me? We had Marshall McLuhan calling.
What can we do for you, honey?
I just wanted to say you guys are great. We love you here in Kansas.
Thank you. We appreciate the support.
And you're not edited here. Bye, guys.
Not that you know of.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Television on, radio on, stack of 15, 16 newspapers on our kitchen table.
Hello, Don and Mike show. The smell of rotting corpse. Mixing with cat urine.
But she's got her finger on it.
Hello.
I just had a question.
Now, come on, don't do the bad Beavis and Butthead.
Right, all right. I just was wondering... everyone's picking on you today, but nobody's thinking, why is it?
Hey, you know what? Totally unrelated. Have you seen Mad TV? It might be a rerun, but the Mad TV where the guy does Elvis. The guy does our kind of Elvis, and I swear to God, it's and they would start it, and all it is Elvis in the back of a limousine with the two guys with the big sideburns, and then the big fat guy on Mad TV doing Elvis, and they always start the bit with Elvis one day before his death, and they have him just seeing things and stuff like that. It is the best Elvis that you will see on television.
Rob, don't we have an Elvis death show coming soon?
August 16th.
All right. Boy, I'd love to get a clip of this because it's hysterical.
Elvis death show. Okay, what?
Hey, boss. Just wanted to say hey. And Mike, do an Elvis impression then. Let's see it. Let's hear it.
No, I'm not going to do it. I was just talking about what I saw on TV. What are you doing?
Oh, just wondering if you wanted to do one.
Why are you calling?
You know, no real particular reason.
No, that's the problem today. Right. That is the real problem with today's show.
A whole bunch of dummies calling us today.
Guys that have no... Just hey, I can call them without even thinking about it.
Well, that is the problem when you do a show when really anybody can call.
Absolutely. Right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
This is Chris in Columbia. I just want to let you know, I got one thing I want to let you know. People are pulling over. It's starting to rain right now. And I don't know how much you love that. The other thing is, hey, how tough would it be for you guys to get out of your contract?
Here's another brilliantly dumb question. How hard do you think it would be for us to get out of our contract?
Well, I mean, I know you guys have discussed it for a long time. I mean, I've been listening to you guys since Weva, and you guys are syndicated. I mean, couldn't you get out of that somehow if you defaulted somehow or something, and then the stations would go with you?
Right, because that's how it works. You've crystallized it for me. Gosh, now why couldn't I see that the radio industry is that simply tied together?
I think one thing has to be made clear, that one of the reasons we're making the noise we're making about this particular issue is because we are upset about it, and we are delivering a message to the powers that be that we don't like it, but the reality of the situation is it would be difficult to get out of our contract, and we don't necessarily want to get out of our contract, and we are sending our message the only way we can, okay?
Well, it seems like they're limiting you and almost challenging you. I mean, doesn't it?
No, it's how you interpret it.
Well, I know I don't know the inside, but obviously.
No, you don't. Right, you don't. You don't, do you?
Absolutely.
That's right.
You know, I'm just gonna put a moratorium today on career advice. That I don't think we need any advice from any more dicks calling us, telling us about what we should do and what we shouldn't
do. It's weird the way the door is open to that today, and I'm not quite sure why. I'm really not sure
why. It's empathy. They love you. They want to help. They just don't know what they're talking about.
Right. And just for the record, it's not that easy that you can't just quit and have all of the radio stations.
He's hung up.
See how you asswipe.
He'll listen to your answer on the air.
Right. But just for the record, it's not that easy to quit and have all of your radio stations simply follow you along like you're the freaking Pied Piper.
I started the program being very angry with management and their position of censorship. I have moved that anger now squarely onto the heads of the individual that have been calling this show.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Hey, is the fight over in Sacramento?
just another battle.
What do you mean, is the fight over?
Well, because Friday show, Brent Napier started his show by saying his show was on time, and that's what his show was all about.
Yeah, but you notice he didn't mention our names, did he?
Hey, but it's still the same thing.
No, but he didn't mention our names, did he?
No.
I know you'd love another war, sir, and I know that's why you're calling.
And the situation we have with him is not like the situation with the guy in New York.
I know.
I just want to make the distinction.
I know.
We said, shut up and let me answer. Will you shut up and let me answer? You don't want to hear what I have to say because you know it all. Just like every other idiot that's called the show today. You know it all. I should be in the car listening to you because you know it all.
All right, go ahead.
No. The deal with the guy in Sacramento is, if he wants a war, he can have a war. If he wants to come on at 4 o'clock and say his show is starting on time, we've got no problem with that. Why should we go to war over that?
And that is why I asked you specifically, you'll notice, he didn't mention our names. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And you don't know that. I'm asking you a question. You don't have to say, I know. I'm asking you. Did he mention our names?
No.
Okay.
And it's not because we're paranoid or afraid, but we have issued that disc jockey at that radio station in Sacramento an ultimatum. We said, unless you lay off, we're going to come at you with both guns blazing.
And that was management's position there, too.
Okay, but in a roundabout way, we all know out here what he's talking about, and
yeah, but it's a very important distinction.
Well, yeah,
between getting on there.
You know, here's another guy. You know what this really boils down to is guys who have no balls in their own life are calling us.
Absolutely.
And expecting that because KHTK is taking the show off at 4 o'clock that we're going to do something radical, right?
Well, yeah.
Right? Okay.
Well, yeah.
You know, listen, I'm positive we've got more balls than you'll ever have. We've got more balls than you'll ever have in your entire life. We've made more rash, crazy, loose cannon decisions than you ever will in 10 different lifetimes.
If it'll make you happy, sir, it's nonstop conflict around here. Every single day, from the hanging, lamps in here, to the fire extinguisher hanging from the wall, to the clock falling off the wall, hitting me in the shoulder, to management up in New York, to management down here in Washington, Sacramento. It's every day. It's constant behind-the-scenes turmoil.
Topic today.
Pardon me?
I was debating about calling with this topic today on your show.
Right, and you decided to call because?
Because you're all fired up already.
Yeah, maybe that has something to do with it.
You wanted to cash in on
maybe
that.
That's why everybody decided this is the day to call.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not so fired up. I am fired up.
You're fired up.
Yeah, but I am fired up because there's so many idiots who think they know what's happening when they don't know what's happening.
Well, no, I just wanted to know where it stood with Sacramento.
Where it stands, I think we've made it very clear to you.
I know.
And now let me ask you, and I want an honest answer here.
Right.
Nothing would make you happier than for us to say, he what? And then to go on and do an hour and a half talking about that particular guy in Sacramento and yell and scream and get angry. You'd enjoy that, wouldn't you?
No, not really.
Okay, thank you for giving me the honest answer.
Then what was the
point? And why would you call?
What was the point of calling?
Just, you know, because, you know, he started it. He said, you know, that's what his show was all about.
No, but what did you want? What did you want? What was the reaction you wanted from us? A tough question, isn't it? I wait a minute. I want to know, what did you really want?
Well,
no, come on.
I'm thinking.
So, in other words, there really was no method at all in your call.
Right. Yeah, you guess he got me.
You know, and if one more idiot calls this show today and says something stupid and then just backs out of it by saying, hey, you're right.
I really didn't have any agenda. I don't know why I called.
Okay.
So maybe, so would it be that you just wanted to hear your voice on the radio? Would that be it?
No. No.
No.
God, no.
No.
Oh, God, no, no. Lord knows you don't want to. Yeah, perish the thought of it. That's why you've called a national radio show.
For all you guys who want to call and challenge us as to why we're doing what we're doing or what we're not doing, I urge you to take some of that ball and use it in your own life.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. Go out and do something you want to do, but you're too big a pussy to do. Isn't there somebody in your office you'd like to call a jerk?
No. I drive a truck. I don't work in an office.
Yeah, but you deal with supervisors if you drive a truck. You deal with distribution houses. You deal with the guy at the pickup end and the guy at the delivery end. And I'm sure you have repeat business. I'm sure there are individuals in your life that cause you strain and duress that you probably like to yell at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then why don't you do it instead of trying to transfer that on to us?
Excellent idea.
It is an excellent idea, yeah.
Good.
Oh, and now you're just being a goddamn parasite yes man again.
I know. I'm going to go now, okay?
Good.
Right.
Okay.
Listen, I really mean this. F you! I mean it. It's okay. Tough enough, you know, it's tough enough to do a goddamn show. We all know about this.
It's going to be May.
Okay? We're trying to move away from that. Unfortunately, a large part of the show is based on taking impromptu phone calls from the people who listen. But most of the calls we've taken today want to keep getting back to topics that are not with the topics we want to talk about on today's show. And then there's silence. Then there's silence on a radio show.
Dead air, don't you love it?
Yeah. Hang up,
all right,
please.
Friggin' idiot.
Okay, bye.
Friggin' moron.
Hang up.
Christ. God damn. Die!
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Okay.
How's everybody doing today?
Okay.
Super duper. Oh, well, I hope that was the last of those type of phone calls. You and I love taking phone calls.
I know.
Today, I've never seen anything quite like it.
It happens, Mike.
And it's because there's a conflict going on. There's a significant, argument with management going on. And people somehow think that that's the chance. That's
right.
The opportunity. There's a type. There is a type that calls when there are moments of stress.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
What?
Do you have a case of the Mondays?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
And some people say, well, why are you still taking phone calls? That's the reason
why.
We
right.
Take phone calls.
Well, listen, even the douchebags who call, who I say, die.
Right.
I love them all.
They're the straw that stirs the drink.
We love everybody who listens to this show. We just wish some of them were dead.
Absolutely.
Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike?
Yes.
My name's Todd. I'm on the way home from the gynecologist. I have no agenda. And
you weren't going. You weren't going to the gynecologist for yourself, were you, Todd?
Yes, I was.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Have a nice day.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
Thank you, Todd.
That was Todd trying to be funny.
Okay, he wasn't.
Saying he doesn't have any balls.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, is this the guys?
Yes, this is the guys.
I'm an idiot. Everybody else was calling. That was it. That's all I have. I'm an idiot. Everybody else was calling.
Okay, so you want to just be with your brothers?
Yes.
All okay, right. now you get the second wave, which is the guys who think they're funny.
Who are talking about the previous guys.
And
eventually, it will play out where we'll just get a few calls that are maybe on unrelated topics.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Maybe. Jesus. I mean, the way it looks now, there's not a chance I'm going to see Dennis Miller tonight. We're halfway done with the show. We haven't even started to play the commercials.
Are we running late?
Yes.
I thought we were on time.
No, you know why we're running late? Because there's no clock on the wall.
The clock is busted.
Let me see if I can fix it.
Because we get going.
I can fix it. I got a bitchin' set of tools.
Okay.
our favag. Our favag. Our favag. Have you seen the brand name on this clock?
No.
Have you ever taken a good close look at the Favag?
Sure.
F-A-V-A-G.
Favag.
Favag clock.
Hey, Favag. It's a Favag. I am worried that if I hang the clock up again, it will hit me in the head.
Well, don't hang it up again.
And they have to secure this properly.
Don't hang it up.
Just put something in between the walls.
Here, could you hand it here?
Yeah, why don't you put it over next to you?
Yeah.
But you know what the problem is?
What?
You need an AC power source. You see those two little red things?
Oh, well, just let me see it anyway.
Attaboy.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks.
Expensive clock.
It's not expensive. How can that clock be expensive? Rob, come here. Now, I want to know how honest that comment was.
That is an expensive clock.
How much is it? What's the estimated value?
All I know is that Dan rescued them from, I think, Crystal City.
And what you haven't told me why this clock is expensive. Did he give you an estimated value?
I think at one time he did, but I don't know.
Is it valuable because it's like some piece of radio history?
Rob?
No.
Here comes Charles Broyhill. I believe the clock might be important to Charles Broyhill.
It's not important to me, but there is some value to it, because if you look at the wires that come down there,
look at it. I've done nothing to it yet. And this is just the damage that incurred when it fell off the wall.
Didn't say it was new.
It's already dented.
No, it's a classic.
The face is falling off. And the hands are bent.
And it doesn't look to me, it does not strike me as a particularly expensive piece of equipment. I wouldn't mind getting an idea of the roughly how much that wonderful clock costs.
Well, it's from Switzerland, as you can see. So it is an expensive Swiss timing piece.
It's from Switzerland, but hello, it's made of material that is like made out of a garbage can.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not like it's got some sort of expensive crystal or something like that.
And look at it already, just from falling off the wall.
Is Dan Rice in here? Let's get the estimated value.
I don't know.
I just saw Wendell walk by. I can go get Wendell.
Go get Mr. Wendell.
Get Wendell in here, and then he can let us know just what the estimated annuity value.
But I think part of the expense is that those clocks can be synced up with every other clock in the
All right,
building.
Again, though.
Yeah, but wouldn't any nice timepiece, any clock, really, that had a decent working mechanism?
Not with wires like that.
What do you mean wires like that?
Those are the wires that apparently sync all of the other clocks up.
Hello, Wendell.
Hey, how you doing?
Wendell, how are you?
We have done nothing to this clock.
Wow.
This is the condition the clock is in. Hold on the hotline.
Because it fell off the wall.
Hold on the hotline.
Hello?
Hey, Dad.
Oh, hey.
Hey, it's your son calling from Spain.
Hi, Tito.
Hey.
Hi. I'm right in the middle of an argument.
With whom?
Don't go anywhere, fellas.
With everybody.
What do you mean with anybody?
With everybody. With Ken, with Jeremy, with listeners, with Wendell, with the clock.
Okay.
We haven't even started arguing.
With everybody. Porquet?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Marty, I can't tell you why, because they'll edit me out if I tell you why.
Oh, they will?
Yes. We're talking, it started because we were talking about a disc jockey who doesn't want to be talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then people were calling about that, and then people were calling about other stuff, and then the clock fell off the wall and hit Uncle Mike in the shoulder, and
ouch.
Now the argument, Bart, is we're talking about just how valuable the clocks on the wall here are.
Because really, the bottom line is, I think we would both like to destroy this clock.
More than I can even tell you.
It would be a great symbolic show of how frustrated we are with being censored and with the studio being half done.
Right.
Well, guess what, Dad?
What, bud?
Tomorrow you can bring in my paintball gun.
Into the studio?
Yeah, take it out.
Yeah, right.
All right, buddy. All right, listen, I gotta go. I love you.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Can I get a tattoo?
No.
Absolutely. Please?
Barty, the answer is no.
Dad, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I know.
Can I get a blood tattoo?
I didn't know. No. Listen,
Didn't you and Mom and I already have this discussion?
No.
Didn't we when we were on the beach in Ocean City? What did we decide?
Current tattoos suck.
That when you get back home, both you and Mom and I will get the kind of tattoo that lasts 3 to 4 weeks.
But you see, a blood tattoo lasts like 6 months, and that's it.
No. No, the answer is no.
Oh, shut down. Oh.
Shut down. Yes, you're shut down. All right, I love you.
That hurt.
That hurt.
Boy, oh boy.
All right, well, I'm sorry you heard, but no tattoos.
I wish you loved me.
I do love you. you're the only reason I'm still here, working at this job.
Hey, Dad.
Yeah?
You want me to get you a cool gift?
Sure, what kind of cool gift?
I can get a highlight tape of all the big brothers in Spanish here.
That's a nice gift.
Yeah, except they don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, but all you have to do is see the crazy visual shootouts or whatever it is.
No, that's all right, Barty. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Save your money. I love you.
I love you, too.
Okay. What?
Can I get my ear pierced?
No, you can't. Are you just working me today?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Dad's having a bad day at work today.
Okay.
So it's not quite the day to work me.
Sorry.
Okay.
Tomorrow, a better day?
What?
Tomorrow, a better day?
Yes, you call and work me tomorrow.
Deal.
Okay.
The date. Okay.
All right, be good. I love you.
Oh, sorry about calling at the wrong time.
That's all right. Hey, and don't forget, keep that stuff around your neck.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
All right, love you.
Adios.
Adios. Bye-bye.
What are you talking about, garlic?
No,
you got... Is he in a land of vampires, or what?
He got pickpocketed over the weekend.
Oh,
Spain.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, Wendell, okay. I mean, I'll tell you,
I know, yeah,
I haven't gotten
story.
Into the weekend stuff.
Okay,
yet.
Very good.
Right. So, what's the value on this clock?
Time code reader clocks like that run about $600.
$600 for this?
$600?
It's time code reader.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but
so it's a...
Look how ruined it is already.
No, I wouldn't give you $600 for it right now, no.
For having fallen off a wall.
Okay, look here. There you go, then. I guess we'll have to symbolically destroy something else.
Hey,
Wendell.
You know, I wasn't here. I was down at the bar already drinking margaritas. No. I didn't see a
thank
thing.
You. There you go.
Hey, Wendell, can we get someone to properly adhere that to the wall?
Yeah, the whole deal is that the wall isn't right. You look in the corner there, it's not lining up right. The wall guy is going to be here in the morning.
Oh, my God. He's back from vacation.
Yeah.
The wall guy. The wall guy. Well, would you do me a favor when you see him? Just look him squarely in the eye and say, well, F you.
I'll say it came from you guys.
Thank you.
Don and Mike say, F you.
F you.
Got it.
And listen, I know it's a small nuance, you know, just a small vanity that I have. Would there be any way that we could get a clock to put on the wall so I could see that it's 7 minutes after goddamn 5 o'clock?
Any clock?
Would that be possible?
Sure.
Thank you.
One right now.
Thank you. Again, Wendell, not mad at you.
Mad at the dirt.
Mad at the dirt.
No problem.
Very good.
Mad at the dirt, Wendell.
See you at the ratings party, Wendell.
What?
See you at the... Did you know there's a ratings party?
Oh, yeah, but if you're coming... Who's working yet?
You know, it's great day.
No. Because he says that to you because that's what I said to him.
Oh, that's right.
At the last party
sorry.
We had.
Sorry, Wendell.
Okay.
Sorry, it's just a stressful day.
Okay.
Glad you enjoyed it so much, the hyena in the corner over there.
Well, it's funny.
I know, it's funny.
It's funny. And
I know.
It was an expensive clock.
I know. It was.
Was an expensive clock.
I'm glad you were right.
Clock.
You're right, Rob.
It was a very expensive clock.
It was expensive.
It was an expensive clock. $600. Clock is a piece of crap.
You were right, Rob. You're happy.
Like every
you have another happy moment tomorrow. Maybe you can take a prize away from a listener tomorrow.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Attention! Attention! Dills is dead. I repeat, Dills is dead. Fuckhead. So is Powell. And those four guys from the East German All Stars. Your boys down at the bank. They're gonna be a little late.
Enjoy the Don and Mike Show.
All right, well, thank you for the luxury that's been afforded to us. There is a functioning clock in the studio now.
Run, Mike, run.
Mike, don't worry. Look how small it is.
Doesn't matter. It could still give me a real nasty boo-boo.
I don't think there's a chance that's happening.
All right.
All right, listen, now, let me tell you very quickly the stuff from this weekend.
All right.
Because believe it or not, we did plan a regular show today.
Sure we did.
And we kind of started it.
Yeah.
But I guess it was that last break that threw us off a little bit.
It's that pesky telephone.
Right. So we'll avoid the phone for just a second. Just let me tell you some stuff from the weekend. I already told you about the Gold's Gym, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I normally, and I know I'm still a fat pig, but I'm really back on the workout thing again. And my wife has got me back into it. We're going to the gym every day, and we do 120 sit-ups together every day. And normally I do 30 minutes, which is 10 miles on this recumbent bike. But yesterday with the PlayStation, I realized I was on the goddamn thing an hour.
Wow. Yeah, because you got that distraction, and
right.
It's not boring, and you're not just sitting there pedaling. You're doing something.
Yeah, it's fantastic. That's all I can say is just, I love it. Thank you, Gold's Gym. Whoever thought to put PlayStation with the unit hanging right in front of you.
It's terrific.
Now, that is a great innovation. Followed that up on Saturday with a breakthrough in the world of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I had, for the first time ever, a chocolate martini.
Oh, dear.
My wife found this place where she said, you're going to love it.
I look at that as like when somebody puts, fruit with regular food, like mint jelly with lamb or something like that. You know, it's like, I don't think a chocolate is going with vodka.
And I didn't either. It was my third one of the evening.
Okay.
So I had to... regular ones. Frida found this place.
So in other words, you just tasted the chocolate.
She said, yeah. She said, let's go to this place. You'll love it. They have a cigar and a martini bar, and they have real good seafood. So we went to this place. We sat down. I had a cigar. I had a martini. Went in, another martini. After dinner, the girl comes around, and they got a menu, this place in Ocean City, where they have 50 different kinds of martinis that you can have. And I said, I'll try the chocolate martini, fully expecting that I would promptly throw it up.
Right.
Or that I would have a sip of it and send it back.
Now, is it clear?
No.
It's brown?
Yes, it's brown. It's very brown.
Right.
They put, like, some kind of, obviously, some kind of a liqueur in with it, in with the vodka. And around the top of the glass, you know when you get a margarita, how they put the salt around the rim of the glass?
Right.
They had a brown, crusty, chocolate-like material around the rim of the glass.
So that enhanced the flavor.
Yeah, it did.
And I've never heard you talk quite so lovingly about your martinis.
Well, a chocolate martini. That was a first for me.
What was the substance that was around? What was the brown, chunky substance that was around the tip?
Tasted like copper. It tasted kind of like blood.
Huh.
No, I don't know. It was obviously some kind of cinnamon or something like that, kind of chocolate mixture. So we walked out of this place, and I mean, I was just on top of the world. It was, you know... Got her a good workout in, had PlayStation. She took me to a place that had cigars. I had a chocolate martini.
Right.
Beautiful. At that point, I'm open to whatever she wants. She says, I want to go. Let's go to Rehoboth. I have to buy a birthday present. You know, Rehoboth is 35 minutes down the road.
Right.
I was like, whatever. No problem, baby. I am yours. And on the way up to wherever the store was, we're going 35 minutes away. This was Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying to her stuff like, you wait till we get home tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You just wait. When we get home tonight, oh, I'm so ready for this.
Right.
I'm so horny. I'm so ready. Tonight when we get home.
So you're talking the talk.
I was saying, you just better unplug the phone and lock the door, because tonight when we get home, forget about it.
Right.
And I'm going to go twice tonight, and it's going to be incredible. We got home, and of course, she can't react immediately as soon as we walk through the door.
Right.
We walked through the door, we got home about 9:15 on Saturday night.
Women are different than men, Don.
And I said to her, okay, let's go. And she said, no. I got to let the dogs out. I've got to go next door and see how my mom and dad are doing. And I said, okay.
I'm hearing a snore in my future Mr. Scholarship winner.
I said, I'll be waiting for you.
Oh, dear.
She came back. She told me at approximately 9:25 on Saturday night. And I am gone.
Out for the count.
In my clothes.
Of course.
Laying on the bed.
Well, there's the workout and there's the chocolate martini.
And, you know, and the chocolate martini was the third martini of the evening.
Yeah, it's sleepy time.
You know, so I was
off
just,
to dreamland.
I was absolutely O-U-T gone. The next thing I heard about it was on Sunday morning when I woke up. And the great thing about martinis is, at least for me, I wake up with no hangover.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I wake up, and I woke up, well, considering that on Saturday night I went to bed at 9:25.
Right.
I woke up at about 5 until 6
sure.
on Sunday morning.
Well, it's tough. Isn't that tough on the weekend, too? Because, I mean, you go to sleep early and you wake up at that early hour. What to do?
I get up early every day. I mean, I don't get that early, but I get up early every day anyway. So I got up, and right away I remembered, oh, right, the plan last night. Me so horny.
And you were ready to go.
So I tapped my wife on the shoulder. And I
shook her violently.
And I said, honey, I started with a... And she said, she rolled over, she said, two things. Do you know what time you went to sleep last night? I said, no idea. She said, I came back from mom's at 9:25. You were asleep at 9:25. She said, second, look at the clock. It's 5 minutes until 6 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Third, have you brushed your teeth yet today?
You.
And I had to answer, no, I didn't know it was 9:25. Yes, I did know it's 5 till 6 in the morning.
No, I haven't, honey.
No, I had not.
Is my breath offensive?
I had not brushed my teeth yet.
Would you like me to go brush my teeth?
Yeah. And she did. So what I did was, like a little child who's been promised something, I then got up, got the newspaper, let the dogs out. This is now yesterday morning, Sunday morning. Brushed my teeth, did the mouthwash thing, got myself cleaned up, and simply sat literally on the end of the bed. I mean, we got this little thing on the end of the bed. It's like a little, it's not a footstool, but it's like a little bench.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I took the newspaper and I sat there and for maybe an hour.
Just waited.
Read the newspaper while sitting 6 inches away from my wife.
Like a dog.
Waiting for her to wake up. And then she finally did wake up and I said, hi. Hi, smell me, smell me, come on, smell good, cleaned up.
Did you shower?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. I mean, I was...
Wow. You didn't just brush your teeth?
No, I was ready for action.
Showered, your hair was all combed and slicked over.
And she said, ready, I'm not, what are you talking about? I said, last night, come on, I'm ready. She said, no, last night you fell asleep. At 9:25, you fell asleep at the time that an 8-year-old child falls asleep on Saturday night.
Right.
She said, no, so now you have to wait. So for the next 2 hours, this was the routine. She would walk from the bedroom to the kitchen. I would follow her. She would sit down on the couch. I would follow her.
Like a dog
in
heat.
Yes, yes. She sat down on the couch, and I would start to feel her up. She's like, stop groping me. I said, we're married. I can grope you. She said, stop it. Just stop touching me. I'll tell you when it's time. Then she would get the newspaper, and she went and sat in the other room. Well, I went and sat in the other room, and I was just being with her. Like, you know, she said, what is it? I said, and finally, she said, okay. And this is
did
real.
She say like that, okay, or did she say, okay.
Yeah, that's really what a guy likes to hear. She said, okay, let's go do this.
All right.
Let's go do this.
We'll make you happy.
And we did, and
home run?
Yeah.
Was she satisfied?
No. No. But I told her it was her fault. I said, you got me all worked up the night before.
Right.
And I'm sorry I fell asleep.
The night before, if you'd stayed awake, you might have been able to maybe take your time a little bit.
Yes. I said, but the problem is that the night before, you know,
it's morning time.
I was, you know, sleepy, and then this morning I got up, and when I first got up, I was ready, and now you've made me wait 3 hours, and I'm ready. Well, no, Mike, I might give me the J.O. sign.
Well, that morning time is, you know, it says it on that piece of tape there.
Oh, I thought...
So you just, I mean, in the morning, it's a different type of deal. You just want... You want your satisfaction in the morning.
I thought you were saying that I should have J.O.'d.
No.
First thing, but see,
now you're a 41-year-old man.
Well, no,
you don't need to J.O.
The thought crossed my... I do constantly.
But you don't need to. It's not like you need to.
The thought crossed my mind that I should J.O., like at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning when she first said, have you smelled your breath? And it's 6 o'clock and I'm going back to sleep. But then I thought, what if I do that and she wakes up in 15 minutes and then she comes to get me?
Might be a problem.
Right. Then what do I do? I'm there with a limp piece of pasta between my legs.
It's not like you're 18 anymore.
No. I mean, listen, I need at least, and I've timed myself, I need at least 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
To go again.
Right.
At least 30 minutes to go again.
That's impressive.
It's not like
you are like an 18-year-old.
So it's not like I can do it all the time.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But on those occasions...
You need at least 30 minutes and a weekend.
No, she'll tell you.
I know, Captain America. I know 30 minutes. It takes you 30 minutes and you can do it five times a day.
You got it going again. So, you know, we finally did it. And then when it was over, total time... maybe 60 seconds. I mean, and, you know,
really?
Her fault.
So you were waiting all morning.
Yes, and her fault.
Okay.
Because when we start it, she just can't shut up. And I don't mean that's a bad thing, but what I mean is...
She's talking naughty?
Yeah, we get going, she starts saying stuff, and it's like, okay, this is when I have an argument in my mind. When I say to myself, I better tell her to stop this. Because if she doesn't stop this, train's leaving the station.
But you're liking it, too.
But on the other hand,
right.
I really want to ride that train. So it's like we get going, she gets going, and it's like all of a sudden, again, the first thing I say when we have sex, I'm sorry. That's it.
But she probably didn't care, right? Because was she really in the mood, or was she doing it for you?
No, I think she's in the mood.
She was in the mood?
She was in the mood, but she knows the drill. She knows,
60 seconds.
That if you want it to last more than 60 seconds, don't say anything. Don't walk around naked before we do it. Just
wear, like, a high-neck collar.
Listen, if I see my wife putting her bra on, I get all...
Mm-hmm.
Horny.
Me so horny.
So we had, we had our good relations. And then right after the juicy relations were open, the phone rang. And after it was over, the phone rang. And it was Bart calling us from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Mom, Dad, we were both on separate extensions. I want to tell you something. Don't get mad. And right away, we started thinking the worst possible scenario. He says, don't get mad. Everything worked out okay. And I thought, brother, that sounds like something I would say.
Right.
You know? So I said, just tell us, what is it? He said, when I went out last night, we went to a disco, and I got pickpocketed. And the guy got my driver's license, and my ATM card, and my passport. And it was like, oh, Christ, don't tell me this. You know, because then... immediately, and I was on one phone, and Frida was on the other phone across the room. We're looking at each other, and our eyes meet, and it was like, oh, this is like the worst nightmare, right? And then he says, but they caught the guy at the door.
Ooh, wow.
They caught the guy at the door because he immediately noticed that he was missing his wallet, and he went and said something to the guy at the door, and the guy at the door had actually seen this Spaniard pick my son's pocket.
Wow.
So they went over.
So the guy, somebody saw him doing it.
Yeah,
huh?
one of the guys who works at the door of this club. So they went and they picked the guy out of the crowd, and they asked him to empty his pockets, and there is, my son's New York Jets wallet.
Do you know how lucky he was?
Oh, amazing.
Oh my God.
Once we found that out, that is when simultaneously both Frida and I started yelling at him.
Right.
Of course.
And it was weird because we had that half second delay. Because he's calling us from Spain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we're yelling at him, and we're hearing our yelling come back at us a half second later. And I can only imagine, my poor son who's just staring at a payphone in Spain, just hearing reverberation, both of us just going off on him. Because what she got him this thing that he wears under his shirt that hangs around his neck. Which is like a little flat pouch in which you're supposed to put your passport in.
Right.
Yeah, you're valuable.
Yeah, and
so you don't get pickpocketed.
And keep it there. So, beyond that.
God, was he lucky.
He was fine.
Did they take the guy off to jail after that?
No, he said they didn't.
Really?
He said they didn't. Welcome to Spain, Mike.
Yeah, really?
Welcome to Spain.
Wow.
Went to the bullfights.
Mm-hmm.
Saw another bull get killed.
Is he digging the bullfights?
Yeah. He says he's been to the bullfights twice. He wants to go again.
Oh, dear.
And I'm sure if he hadn't called at the inopportune moment he did today, he would have told you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he'll call tomorrow. And the last thing over the weekend, just something nice for my father-in-law, who, as you know, has been in and out of the hospital.
Right.
And is not feeling too great, but is on the rebound. I'd like to think he's on the rebound. Yesterday, when he was in World War II, he was wounded and was supposed to get a Silver Star,
mm-hmm.
and he never got it. So yesterday, they actually got him one. I mean, the other, like, the members of the family got him one.
That's fantastic.
Got him one and presented it with him yesterday, and it was a very nice moment.
Congratulations, Les.
It was a nice moment. And
a Silver Star, that's not a slouch medal there. No. That's fantastic.
And today is July 31st,
right.
And I would just like to point out it is the two-month anniversary of my car being at the shop.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
God.
It was May 31st that the car went in originally.
My God.
Thank you.
My God.
So that was that was my weekend.
Wow.
Then I got some other good news that I can't talk about now.
Chomping to talk about this?
Uh-huh. I can't today. But
you had that look like a little kid that got a gift.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about it. So that was my weekend. I had a pretty good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you had a real good weekend.
Right.
Because you...
I had a bachelor weekend.
By yourself.
I had a bachelor weekend and, got together with some friends on Friday night, just a couple other couples and me. And then on Saturday, I played golf. I basically played golf all weekend. I played more golf than I normally do.
And you normally play a lot of golf on a weekend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and I linger. Well, I play 18 at the crack of dawn on Saturday morning and then come home. And if I linger more than 30 minutes after the round, you know, I think my wife is extremely understanding because, I mean, I get home like 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30 on Saturday. That's half the day. But if I'm a little later, you know, it's just not, and rightly so.
Right.
I mean, I got two kids, and you want to spend, you know, part of a Saturday with them. And on Saturday, it was just the total lingering. And we finished playing golf, I estimated, about 12:30. And I probably left an hour after that, and I realized that, you know, I always say to myself, boy, look at all these guys hanging out. Wish I could hang out. Well, I realized that I'm becoming boring, but I actually hung out for an hour, you know, maybe half an hour longer than I normally would.
Right.
And went home, and then I saw a guy the next day, and this was like 12:30. He said, you know what time that party broke up? I said, what time? He said, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. So I missed a good thing. But I went home. I was in bed. This is how pathetic I am. I was in bed myself, by myself, in my house, by 10:30.
Wow. On Saturday night?
Yeah, my incredible swinging bachelor Saturday night consisted... First of all, on Friday night, I went out, but I went out... There were two other couples, you know, and I went over to somebody's house.
Right.
And that was my Friday night. And then on Saturday, I was in bed by 10:30 watching The Green Mile on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
That's how pathetic it was. And then just hanging out, and the entire time, you know, I always say, hey, I got a house full of broads, you know, because I have a 5-year-old daughter,
right,
a 3-year-old daughter, and my wife. And I realized that I'm not really that functional without having them around, and I missed them a great deal. And it was just, I was very, very, you know, I was very bored, and I didn't have anything to do. I didn't really plan.
How many times you called your wife?
Probably 13 times. Well, no, because, I mean, she wasn't answering. I knew she was at a wedding, and I knew she'd be back in her hotel. She's with my kids. So hopefully, and I know this side of the family, believe me, nothing's going to happen. And, you know, and I called about 13 times because I wanted to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm really, I'll tell you, I do, this is, you know, this is a change in me. Because the old me, if I had a bachelor weekend, I would have had, you know, I would have been booking flights.
You would have been out with, who is that guy that you said owned that restaurant?
Costas Alexakis.
Yeah.
I would have been out with
Costas all night long.
I would have called Doug. You know, I would have called the whole guard.
Hello.
Hello. I would have had everybody, and it just didn't materialize. Now, I cannot tell a lie.
Good for you.
I did put a call into a friend of mine, like, midweek last week, saying, hey, Laura's going to be out of town. Do you want to get together? And he's just had a baby, too. So he said, no, I was away last weekend, and I have to. And once he said no, the wind was taken out of my sails. It was effectively very, very... very boring weekend.
Good,
I mean,
for you.
Nothing that, you know, I guess it's good for me, but I mean,
good for you. Good for you, like, that, you know.
It's good, but I mean, I also felt like, you know, God, what a... I'm becoming old.
Yeah.
I'm becoming an old fart.
Hello.
But I know.
Right.
Bullseye. But hey, a lot of golf. A lot of dolphins. Sweaty, steamy, 100% humidity.
And the last question I had was for Buzz, because I know that Buzz was spending the weekend with Marcia for their 25th.
Right.
And I know you went to the Palm.
Yes, we did. We had a wonderful time. Tommy took great care of us.
On Saturday night. Mm-hmm. The only question I had, did you run into Dennis Murphy there?
Yes, I did.
It was
the perfect touch for my silver wedding anniversary.
Was it hopefully when you were leaving?
No.
Okay, hold on, Buzz.
Okay,
hold on. All right. We will find out about that, you poor bastard, when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Danny. The most important decision you can make right now is what do you stand for, Danny? Goodness or badness?
I want to be good.
Good. Good. Very good. Are you my pal, Mr. Scholarship Winner?
I'm your pal.
How about a Fresca?
They'll gladly run around in circles for ye, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, yo, Don.
Don and Mike Show.
Hey, yo.
Yo, hello.
Hey, I want to give you a little insight. I'm a bartender here in Sacramento on the fine condiments we use on our flavored martinis.
Yeah.
Usually for the chocolate martini, and this goes across the board, I've talked to several bartenders, crushed up Cocoa Puffs or Count Chocula.
That is pretty cool.
It's great, and let me tell you, barely want to light, you know, get the glass a little wet around the rim, and hate to tell you, but usually what works best is your tongue. To get the stuff.
You know,
I know you don't want to hear that, but
if you are telling me that
you
some...
Don't, see, don't hurt you, right?
If you are telling me that some guy
licks the glass... Sometimes we'll use the little... Sponge.
He's not.
There.
He is funning you.
No.
That doesn't happen.
No, I
bartenders usually out in the open, and they couldn't get away with that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How's it going, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just wanted to call and say thank you very much. This is Jay Square from Chambersburg, and you guys sent us to the Santana Show, and we had a fabulous time, and we appreciated it very much.
You know, I didn't even tell you half of my way. I know Buzz is going to tell us that, but you know what I forgot completely to tell you?
What?
Well, my dogs got out. They got out of their pen.
Oh, Friday, right?
On, you know, their little
Carlos cave. Santana made you think of that?
Yeah, because I'm sitting there, and, you know, out where I live, I'm out on the, and it's out near where the concert is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never, in all the years I've been living out in Hooterville, I have never in my life seen traffic like this. There was... The concert that everybody was going to, the Santana concert, there was a wall of thunderstorms, the likes of which we haven't seen around here in a long time, and there was a huge accident. And so all during the show on Friday, I'm calling this lady that picked up my dog.
Hey, lady.
Out in Hooterville. She said, we have your dogs. We've got them. They're okay. I said, I'll be by at 8 o'clock sharp. And I remember saying that, too. I'll be by at 8 o'clock sharp to get the dogs. And so I'm going out there, and I have never in my life seen this kind of traffic. I'm dodging in traffic, and I get... I'm one of these people that does the alternate routes. So I see this traffic starting. I see the headlights. I'm like, aha, I'll get off at this exit. I get off at this exit. I go halfway down the exit. It's another parking lot. Mm-hmm. Every artery coming out of this city, because everybody wanted to go and see Carlos Santana.
You know, Friday night when we left, when I went down the street by McDonald's to make the right-hand turn, the light was green. And nobody was moving. And I got pissed. I said, you're pussies. Pussies.
We're all ready to get out of here.
People are pussies. I said, Fred, just drive. I said, Fred, drive. Go. Pass them up. Drive. Pass them up. We realized when we got to the intersection why nobody was moving. There was not a puddle of water in the middle of the road. The water, I S you not, came all the way up on the hood of the car.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about, what is that, like 3 or 4 feet?
Sure, absolutely.
Of standing water? In the middle of the road.
We had a lot of rain in a very short period of time, and there was a lot of flooding.
Jesus H. Christ.
Well, I have a dog that that got out during that thunderstorm because he's actually able to take his paws and work the gate and actually unlatch the gate and unlock it and actually free himself. And then he says to the other dog, Oscar says to Hamilton, come on. Come on, let's go. He's not going to be back for hours. Because this happened at like 3:40. That's when they, you know, it's like,
Yeah, he's on the air. Go, 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 go. Let's go right now.
How did you know then during the show that your dogs were out?
My wonderful next-door neighbor called me and said she saw the dogs. If she sees them come running by, she'll try to corral them, but I don't expect her to chase the dogs around. And Oscar is a dog who is what's known as a runner. Oscar will run if he gets the opportunity. He will split and go try to find other dogs. The other dog, I can walk around the front yard, and he doesn't care, and he usually comes back, but he followed Oscar this time. So it wasn't until 8 o'clock at night where I got them, and the nice people that had them in the fenced-in back area of their yard. And so I put them in the cab of my pickup truck, and I put Oscar. Well, you know, Oscar weighs like 130 pounds.
Yeah,
and he's sitting there just going, God, I'm caught. I don't want to go back in the car. I'm caught. So I, like an idiot, I mean, I've got a pickup truck, which is specifically designed for things like putting your dogs back there, and I put them in the cab, and he somehow got wedged underneath the steering wheel where he was stuck, just looking back at me like, I'm caught, I don't want to go back, I don't want to go back. Just looking around at me, and my car does not smell like wet dog. It was a mixture of wet dog and dog feces, is what, because obviously, I don't know if they've been dragging their asses along the ground or whatever, but Hamilton's over now, and I realize I'm looking at the right seat, and it's dark upholstery, but I can still see the mud prints, and I was wearing like a tan shirt and tan pants, like I'm a Maytag repairman, the way I always dress on Friday. And I was looking forward to going out and meeting my friends. And I get home and I looked like somebody had taken a dump on me because I had all these paw prints. And I have to free Oscar, who is wedged somehow. You know, instead of like just skedaddling across the seat and getting over.
So this happened when you got home.
This is when I'm at the people's house who knew what I did, and it's like, hey, how do you like it out here in Hooterville? They're all like, ha, 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 your dog. And I'm like, thank you so much. Thank you. Please get me out of here. And I'm putting Oscar in the cab of the car, and he is wedged between the steering wheel, and he's 130 pounds. So I've got to pull him back, and he doesn't budge. He doesn't understand. This is what Oscar, he's brilliant enough to pick the lock, to get out and to go free himself and go on his wonderful little adventure. But when it comes to the concept of reversing his direction so he can get his oversized mallet head out from under the steering wheel, he doesn't understand that. So I back Oscar out, and then I have to bring Oscar around to the back of the pickup truck, and Oscar doesn't jump. Oscar does not jump.
Oh, so you have
not
to pick him up?
Yeah, I have to pick up the 140-pound dog with his fecal-covered rear end where he's had some sort of, like, diuretic, trauma. And I lift him up, and he's just sitting there going, And then he gets nervous in the car, even if he's in the back of the car. And you know that dog nervous thing where that goo starts coming out of their mouth? And so I take them home. And by this time,
we call that DMS, Dennis Murphy Syndrome.
Dennis Murphy Syndrome. By the time I got home, it was 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. And at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and then I had to go back up, and I took an Elvis shower. But I meet my friends, and I'm still, I've got the smell of, like, wet dog and this dog poo all over me. And then I went to the gate. And I take the gate, and I'm, like, tying ropes around the gate. I'm putting, like, padlocks on this thing and just, like, making sure he'll never get out again. And then Oscar's on the deck just going, just steady, not barking at anything, just going, you. And I'm like, yeah, well, you may feel that way, Oscar, but you're not getting out of here right now. And he's not. He's not getting out of there. Not for a minute. And then, you know what? I felt bad later on, and they slept in the bedroom. And and I don't have the kind of dogs. I don't have the kind of dogs that you know. I have the kind of dogs where I have a very large dog house out in the backyard, and that's where they sleep most of the time. But I brought them in, and they came into the bedroom as I was going off to dreamland, and I was like, and it was horrible. It was like, seriously, there was no poop anywhere, but it was like there was poop coming. And I examined both dogs' rear ends to see if there was any.
As you always do.
As I always do, and, you know, with a glove. A ski glove.
Yeah, be honest.
All right, okay, it wasn't a glove. It was barehanded. And there was no evidence of anything, but they got into something. They got into some kind of muddy, mucky crap. And, you know, and the standard poodle who just follows, you know, I've got a totally black dog and a totally white dog. The standard poodle just kind of follows Oscar all over the place.
In case you're wondering, this is the sound of Mike doing that check on his dogs. I'll just give you just a sound effect.
Okay, okay.
Come here, dog. Come here, Oscar. Come here. Well, hold on, you laughed now. I wasn't able to get this out.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. Come here, Oscar. Come here. Okay, good boy.
Now, you missed one thing. I just want to go, come here, Oscar. Here we go. Chocolate martini. But that was, I forgot that that was my incredibly stressful Friday night that I didn't, I didn't kick in there. Oh, God.
And Buzz?
Yes.
Hold on, I think I have Dennis on one of these lines.
Oh, good.
I think he's on one of these lines. Hello, Don and Mike. Nope, that's line one. That is a dead line. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
There he is. Ah, I knew he was there. Hey, I knew he was there. So listen, Buzz is going to tell us a story now.
Okay.
Buzz was celebrating his 25th anniversary.
Very big occasion.
With Marcia.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to the Palm, right. Our favorite restaurant in D.C.
Great. It's the best.
And as it turns out, Dennis called during the week, last week, and said he had picked up a girl somewhere.
Right.
And he was going to take her to the Palm.
By coincidence.
Right. Yeah, no.
True.
Because Buzz had not announced where he was going to have dinner with his wife.
No, we were months away from April Fool's, so it wasn't kind of a joke.
So, we said to Buzz on Friday, wouldn't it be funny, like your worst nightmare, if, as it turns out, Dennis is in the restaurant at the same time as Buzz is.
Right.
And that's where we are now. Buzz?
My heart sank when I heard that news because I'd been planning it for some time. And Dennis just, you know, meets a girl at the Las Vegas-style show that week. And they come to find out. Well, and when he called last week, I said, go to dinner late, Dennis. My thinking was, for Marcia and I, we get there early. We have an early dinner. That gives us time for our food to settle and we can have lots of sex.
What time you get there? About 5:30?
That was my thinking. No, 7 o'clock.
All right.
7 o'clock.
Got there at 7, and there was Dennis standing right out front of the restaurant with a flower.
Dennis, what are you there for? Now, why are you there at 7 o'clock?
Back when I make a link, the legislation, I didn't know what kind of going to be there.
Well, didn't Buzz ask you to get there late?
No.
Yes. When you called last week, I said, go late, Dennis.
Oh,
go
okay.
Late.
Because I have an option, 7 or 9:15.
But, you know, I like Dennis.
So he had the option,
7,
to go later, and he picked the early time.
Right. Yeah. He'd go at 4:30 if he could.
He's in front of the restaurant with a flower.
With a flower, waiting for his date. The flower wasn't for us. It was
so
for the girl.
Just that he was there. It's like you there's no way. If you had wanted to avoid him,
he was standing in front of the door.
I look at the entrance way.
Yes, yes, he was. And I like Dennis, but Dennis represents, you know, the show and the public part of the show.
That took care of the walk-in crowd.
This was a private evening.
All right, hold on. You know what? Hold on. We got to do a break. Because I know that there's much more, correct?
No, right. There's not.
A little, there's a little more. There is. Hold on. And besides, I want to talk to you, Stud.
Okay.
So hold on.
No problem.
Just a moment, please.
Okay.
Be right back with you.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, if it's any help to you, I think you did the right thing.
Really? You're not just saying that.
No, I mean it. Really. You two didn't get along. You said it yourself. All you ever did was fight.
You're right. Thank you. Thank you. That's all we ever did. I'm telling you, we fought and fought, and then we had great sex.
Warning. The following program features no actual coitus. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, so Buzz.
Yes.
Our friend Buzz. Celebrating his anniversary. 25th.
That's right.
With Marcia.
What's that one called, Buzz? What's
the silver anniversary.
It's the silver.
Right. Okay. And you know something here?
Yeah.
The ring.
Do you get a new ring?
It's a wedding ring.
Oh, you're finally wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah. First time in 25 years I'm wearing a wedding ring.
Did she give you some kind of new one? Or
actually, this was my dad's wedding ring from his marriage to my mother. And I gave my late mother's wedding ring. I had it restyled. And I gave a fresh ring to Marcia then for our anniversary.
So you both exchanged a new, like, redone ring.
Yeah, we did.
It was very nice. And you're going to keep that one on?
Yes, I am. Look at that.
Even on the road trips?
Absolutely.
How about on appearances?
Sure. At appearances, road trips, whatever. There it is.
Hey. Very good. You got one, Don? You got one on?
Of course. Like I could take it off.
There you go. I got mine here.
We all have them.
You'd have to take the finger to get this off. My Rob, there's yours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are all.
Rob slides right off, though.
I'm now a member of the club.
Look at that. Look how easy that slid off.
Rob's is French.
You know what? That baby's going to be the glue that keeps you guys together for a while more.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think so. I'm talking about the Speewax, of course.
That's why we're having the baby. One last chance to make it work.
And that's why
I doubt it.
I think they should name the baby Band-Aid.
Yes, Band-Aid.
Patch.
Or Chance.
Band-Aid.
You realize also that about anniversaries, next Tuesday for Frida and me, that's 19 years.
Wow.
God.
Yeah, I know.
Is it 19 or 18?
19, Buzz.
Really? I'll have to correct my calendar.
Double checked on that.
And you're all aware that on August 27th, Laura and I will be celebrating our golden 50 years together.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. I don't know how you did it. Truly, truly special
accomplishment.
How long have you been married, really?
I'm not really sure.
What is it, five?
I think it's six.
Six?
I think it's six or seventh.
Six.
Six, I think.
Yes, six.
I'm sorry. Yes, I am in trouble, Rob. It's too late. I can't take it back. It's out there, and it's not like I can reach out and retrieve it. It's the sixth. Of course, I'm a kidder.
But for Buzz, it's the big 2-5.
That's right.
So he takes Marcia to La Palma. I can only imagine the horror when you park your car. Mm-hmm. You're walking down L Street, M Street, whatever street the restaurant's on. Mm-hmm. You see the green awning. You think, fantastic big-time meal.
Beautiful.
And there, standing out front, is this man.
Hi, how you doing?
Dennis. Good timing, Dennis. Very good.
So what happens, Buzz?
So Dennis explains that he's waiting for his date, and he very kindly says, you know, I'm not going to bother you. Have a nice time. Congratulations. And so we go past Dennis. We go in, and as I said, we had a great time. They took great care of us. A wonderful meal. I had a martini myself.
Did they really take care of you?
Tommy bought me a very nice bottle of Chianti for dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
And I thought that was a very nice touch.
That's terrific.
And we enjoyed that thoroughly. So we had a great time, great meal. And at about halfway through the meal, I guess this, maybe just before the entree was served, after the appetizer, I excused myself to go to the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to the front of the restaurant, which is where the restrooms are.
Mm-hmm.
And Dennis had now come inside. He was
still waiting outside.
And
waiting.
Yeah, and did she ever show, Dennis?
What
happened, Dennis?
We got our communications clock.
Oh, wacky things like that happen.
No, of course. She was at the pond at Tyson's. So that's why.
Who believes
why
that?
I thought it was good up. But,
who believes that?
Huh?
Well, Dennis, were you able to rendezvous with her and complete the evening?
Yeah, I rendezvoused with Nicole, and we had a marvelous time.
You have dinner?
Yeah, we had dinner.
Wow.
She had some type of. She had salmon, and I had prime rib.
Did you actually eat at the Palm?
Yeah.
Oh, I was wondering whether she might have wanted a rendezvous at a more out of the way restaurant.
Oh, no. We were at the Palm in Carson Corner. I just sent the server, Nani.
Did she cut your food, or did you have a waiter cut your food?
Oh, I said, can you cut my meat for me? And the waiter said, sure.
Excellent.
Very nice.
All right, so you had a terrific time.
Did you bang her?
No, we didn't bang, but Nicole wants to go out with me again.
Wow. Way to go.
And, hopefully we'll go out in 2 weeks. I think we're going to go to the Olive Garden and to the movie.
This is a great night out. This is the girl you met at the Las Vegas-style show,
yeah,
right?
Nicole.
Nicole, who's the celebrity Nicole most resembles?
I told you Connie Chung, but I was way off.
Hmm. Is she not Oriental?
No, she's not Oriental. She looks like Drew Barrymore.
Now, hold on, Dennis. We've gone from an Asian woman to Drew Barrymore. What is going on here?
I remember. It was dark.
And you were a little wasted, I imagine.
I'm a little bit wasted. I thought she was Chinese. But when I met her at the Palm in Tyson's Corner, I thought, uh-oh, you don't look like no Connie Chung.
So did you get anything off her?
Actually, she doesn't kiss on the first day. But she let me kiss her cheek.
And what do you think the odds are, really, that she seriously will go out with you again?
Oh, I think it's 95% possible.
So the conversation came easy?
The conversation came really well.
Did she compliment you at all?
I compliment her a lot. I said, you look very attractive. You look marvelous. And I hope that I can go out with you again.
At any point, did you take your wiener out?
No, come on, guys. It's a public place.
But she didn't throw a compliment your way during the course of the...
She said I was... she gave me a couple of compliments.
Were you sweating by the time you got to the other location of the pump?
I always sweat.
So, Buzz... hold on. Buzz is having dinner with Marcia, and he gets up to go to the John.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go up to the front of the restaurant, where the Johns are... You run into Dennis again?
There's Dennis looking dejected and feeling that he's been rejected and stood up. And
I called Buck. I think I've been stood up again.
And, what was I going to say, but so what else is new?
I know.
Right. Did you have any desire to invite Dennis over to your table if you had been stood up, Buzz?
No. not at any point.
I almost
gig alone to Marsha, but thank God.
That would have been nice. So Dennis not only had the
poison.
He not only had the wrong restaurant, but he had the wrong girl pictured in his head. So
I know. I'm sorry. But guess what?
How's the Chinese? I just want to know how a Chinese girl turns into Drew Barrymore.
I don't know.
He looked like at one of those videos where people morph.
I think it's amazing the girl showed.
Well, look at that. She looked nice, too.
Did you do anything after dinner, or did you go your separate ways?
Actually, I walked her to the car.
Well, that's what I was asking, Dennis. Did you go anywhere after dinner?
She was tired, so...
We went for a nice, long, romantic walk to her car.
Well, we walked 200 yards to the car. That was something to do. Wow.
So, Buzz, how did you blow Dennis off, then, when he was out by the bathrooms?
I didn't have to. I just kept moving. That was really the key, I think, was just to keep moving and not look back. And he didn't follow me, and so everything worked out great.
Did Marsha panic when you sat down and you said, oh, my God, I saw him again?
I didn't want to ruin the evening. I didn't mention it.
What was your entree, Buzz? What did you have?
Oh, we had the surf and turf, the lobster good. And the steak, of course.
What did Marsha say as you guys were walking into the pond?
I know.
When you realized it was Dennis standing in front of the restaurant.
Well, Marsha told me later that she actually didn't recognize Dennis. She hasn't seen him maybe once, I guess, in her lifetime.
Yeah, and he looks like any Tom, Dick, or Harry you see him.
he did introduce himself and say hello, and as I said, wish us congratulations.
Were you wearing a tie, Dennis?
Oh, no, I was just wearing a golf shirt and some khakis.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Your uniform.
Yeah, no.
Your casual uniform.
Actually, I was a little bit more professional looking.
I guess you decided the tank top wouldn't be appropriate.
The tank top is not appropriate at the time.
Sure.
So,
shut up for a second, Dennis.
Okay.
What did Marsha say? As you guys were walking up the street, what did she say to you privately as she realized it was Dennis?
She didn't realize it was Dennis until we actually spoke with him, and Dennis was very gracious, and Marsha was very gracious, and then we went inside, and she said, I didn't recognize him.
Will he be joining us for dinner, Michael J.?
No, I think she didn't ask, but I volunteered that everything was going to be fine.
Did your wife hug or kiss Dennis?
No.
Good. Just a greeting.
Wonderful. I just said hello, but I forgot her name. I was going to say Marsha, but then we finally realized it was Marsha. Mm-hmm.
Well, Dennis didn't recognize Buzz's wife because Dennis thought she was Chinese.
Your wife looked very, very provocative. Mm-hmm.
Really? What was she wearing, Dennis?
To me, she was wearing like a tiger dress.
A tiger dress,
yeah.
Buzz.
All right, so I guess if we're doing the Dennis Murphy scale of interpreting, that means she was wearing what, a plain black dress?
Polka dots. No, it was a very tight, short tiger stripe dress.
Yeah,
it
looked
like a $1 million.
All right.
Mm-hmm. She didn't look $1 million.
You bang her hard on Saturday night, Buzz?
Oh, yeah. I recently carpeted the screen porch, so we broke that in.
That's always good for the neighbors.
A little outdoor sex.
We recently carpeted the screen porch.
Yeah.
Jesus. Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Let's do it on the porch. All right, well, I'm glad your paths crossed.
Yeah.
We crossed, but I could not interfere.
No. All right, good for you, Dennis.
Okay,
was great.
On that note, I'll get off the phone.
Excellent.
I hope your day gets better, guy. I know you've been having a rough one.
No, Dennis, it's fine. Don't bring it up again.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Okay.
Okay, Mike?
Dennis, yes.
Thank you for listening.
Dennis, always a pleasure. One of your particularly more enjoyable appearances on the show tonight.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Hey, Mike, I know you were alone this weekend.
Uh-huh.
You should have called me.
I should have. That's what I was saying all weekend. I should have called Dennis.
Come on, absolutely.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, on that note, I will say a girl.
There he goes. You know, we've had a nice little break from him. That was nice.
Former regular, Dennis Murphy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Homo Joe here, Don and Mike.
Hey. Don and Mike. Homo Joe here.
Hello, Big Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Big Joe DiCaprio.
I have to tell you, I have to thank you guys a million times over.
Why?
Because one of the finest Maryland state troopers stopped me on the way home from New Jersey this weekend.
Yeah?
And he pulled me over, and I talked to Wendell about it last night. We were online talking about it and laughing. He says, did he give me a sobriety test? I said, no, he gave you the BJ instead.
Really?
Yes. And he asked me how often I come through that area.
You say you were online with Wendell last
night? Yeah, last night.
Really? Was Wendell going to some gay chat room?
No, he was not.
He just contacted you? Who made the first contact?
I mean, Wendell.
who made the contact, Joe?
Wendell.
What, was it instant messaging?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, and I was talking to a fan out in Reno, Nevada, and I said that you were sending some of the stuff to Wendell because she was horny. I said, well, these two ought to be hooked up.
Oh. But Wendell contacted you first.
Yeah, we were just chatting.
Listen, it's not the first time I've been online, and all of a sudden it will say, you've received an instant message from him. Wendell has some weird, looks like an amateur radio. He doesn't have a word for
it's
his
a radio, like,
screen name. It's like NX525777.
Like a ham radio.
And I always forget it's Wendell, and I always type in, you know, my usual greeting, who the F is this? And then it comes back, hi, it's Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I guess.
Have you and Wendell and Joe ever been online together?
No.
Never. I don't believe Joe knows my screen name.
No, I do not.
Very good. Good. Let's keep it that way.
Lucky for you.
So what did you and Wendell talk about?
Well, we were just talking about the Las Vegas Style show and how the sergeant wanted to go home with me after the Las Vegas Style show. And
imagine that, Wendell. This is a portrait. Oh, he's going to be pissed at me.
He's going to be angry.
A little.
We don't want to make him. He'll get real angry.
He was just upset because he didn't get his favors that he was promised.
His release. A portrait of desperation.
So I told him I was going to hook him up.
What time was this on Sunday night?
It's about 9 o'clock that I talked to him.
9 o'clock,
yeah.
Sunday night. Wendell Hall logs on AOL. Keys buddy list. Sees Homo Joe.
Big Joe.
Big Joe DiCaprio. Instant messages him. Hey, Joe. What's up?
And you were where were you?
I was just walked in the door from New Jersey.
And you said a cop pulled you over?
Yes, a state trooper in Maryland.
And I heard this BJ something. What exactly happened with the officer?
He just pulled me over and he was talking about my bumper sticker that has the WJFK bumper sticker on the back. I said, yeah. I said, all you great cops listen to Don and Mike, right? He said, oh yeah, I'm a great fan. I said, well, I'm Homo Joe. He says, oh, Big Joe.
Oh, so he really was a fan of the show.
Yes, he really was a fan of the show.
So did he let you go?
Yeah, he let me go.
After Joe proved that he was Big Joe.
Yeah, after I proved I was Big Joe.
All right.
And he showed him.
All right, goodbye, Big Joe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Officer, my wallet is right down here.
Shocking stuff.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike, this is Nicole.
Is this the girl who went out on the date with Dennis Murphy?
You got it.
Hey.
Really?
Hello.
Are you
exist.
Are you Chinese, honey?
No, not at all.
You look like Drew Barrymore?
That's the one that I came up with, kind of like the young baby face.
What is it you like best about our friend Dennis?
I thought he was a very, very nice gentleman. He was very generous to take me to such a nice restaurant.
Was the appeal the restaurant where, you know, kind of a nice, fancy place?
When I met him at the Las Vegas Style show, it was really generally nice to talk to him.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel anything
really
for
nice
him?
Guy.
Do you feel anything for him?
I wouldn't mind going out with him again.
Because he falls in love very easily. You know that, don't you?
Could you ever see yourself, even no matter how remotely this might fit, could you see yourself being involved with Dennis?
As a friend, yes. That's about as far as I think I could go.
Yeah, did you mention that to him on the first date?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We talked.
You think he knows that?
Oh, I do.
Like, so there would be no circumstance in which you could ever picture yourself having intercourse with Dennis?
I try not to think about it.
Okay, so there's not going to be a sexual relationship
here. No.
But
no. He did try to kiss me, though.
He did try to kiss you?
Yeah.
Would you ever kiss him on the lips?
I don't think so.
Oh, you wouldn't?
No.
But you do see yourself going out with him again?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed going out with him. I had a very pleasant evening.
Would you ever consider giving him manual relief?
No.
Not even if, like, you had maybe a 10-year friendship, and one night Dennis was crying about how he can't find any woman to really love him, and he just looked at you with tears streaming down his eyes. I don't think he can cry, but he has tears streaming down his eyes, and he says, "I just me so horny."
Would you?
I'm going to have to stick with no.
No,
10 years.
Wow. What if you could wear gloves?
You know, I really like him, but I don't think I could like him that much.
Are there any slutty friends you might know that might be able to help Dennis out?
No, unfortunately. I think he's on his own.
Is there another man in your life?
Yes, there is.
Oh.
Very far away.
Oh, he's in a long-distance relationship.
Yeah, it is now.
Beware, that guy ought to mind his P's and Q's.
All right, well, I guess my final question would be, did you enjoy sponging a very costly meal from a poor sap who had no chance of getting any kind of payback?
Well, I would hope that wasn't the only reason that he went out with me. We did have a very nice time, and
sure.
Waiter Lonnie listens to your show, and they were great at the restaurant.
Did you kick anything in on the bill?
Did I?
Yeah.
No.
Do you think there's a chance that the next time you go out, you could treat Dennis?
I think I could, but we couldn't go back there.
Oh, really? Because you don't have that kind of income?
I just don't have that kind of cash, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. We always protect Dennis. We look out for him.
Rob?
He was a whore.
Right. Absolutely.
Always looking out for Dennis, that poor guy.
Time out. We're up on a break. Yeah, what, Robbie?
Technically, she's not even a whore because there's no transaction. She's right. A leech. She's a food whore. Ooh, I think we could go out to, what, Red Lobster? Thank you, Dennis. I'll buy you a Red Lobster dinner.
She's a food whore. We'll be right back.
Hey. He said Olive Garden next day.
Leech whore!
We will be right back, Olive Garden whore. Be back. Toads having touchstones right there. Can you picture of a worse slam being called an Olive Garden whore?
Red whore!
Unlimited salad whore. Listen, call it now for your shot at the money with the secret sound. 877-365-3636. Call 1-800.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come now, you speak as if they were a gaggle of slack-jawed yokels.
Just a couple of hard-working white guys. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yes, we are. Oh, now listen, coming soon on Friday's episode, we're giving away $16,000 to one person.
Wow!
You know, with all those lame TNT interviews we've done.
Right.
Well, they will finally pay off. Also, in the month of August, the return of Strip Trivia.
Oh, boy.
Summer edition of Strip Trivia, and we will be filling up yet another beach house.
Oh, good. That's good as, we can have Big Joe down there?
Of course.
There you go.
Big Joe Summer Beach House, and that's spelled the German way with the umlauts. H-A-U-S.
Big Joe's house.
Now, call 100 time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I'm caller 100.
Yes, you are. What's your name?
Oh, wow.
What's your name?
Joanne.
Joanne, where are you from?
I'm calling from, let me see, I'm off of Rick's Road. I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland.
Beautiful. Joanne, you've won the Power Hour card from Dave and Buster's. Dave and
Great.
Buster's, the premier place in America for adults to have fun, but you've also won, wait, there's more, an order of nachos from Taco Bell. Try
Great.
Taco Bell's new chips with nacho cheese sauce.
Yum, 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 yum.
Are you ready to go for the big bucks?
Yes, I am.
Here we go, $500 online. Secret sound number 6, a common everyday sound.
Uh-huh.
We'll play it for you, give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Bob Goulet, of course.
And, of course, we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There, it is a common everyday sound. We had a couple of people last week that were dangerously close dancing around it. And then everybody moved in another direction.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes. For five bills, five Benjis, what is it?
Is it an automatic trash can that you step on and the lid goes up and come down?
Sorry, honey.
Boy, I like that guess.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Thank you. Remember that every guess is
a clue for you.
Clue
okay.
for you.
All right.
You know, so much of today's show is taken up with us discussing our stance.
It's going to be May.
On that and on
turmoil.
Being censored and everybody calling in then about the censorship issues. That we never even got time today to get to Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to spend some time talking about them, about the ridiculous amount of money that they spent at their wedding.
Mm-hmm.
If we only and Dennis Miller, of
right.
course, on football tonight. If we only have time for one more thing, and the Eddie Murphy movie,
mm-hmm.
you know,
The Clumps was a big success
that I didn't get to see, but everybody told me I'd love that. It's nothing but one gigantic fart joke.
Absolutely,
fantastic.
We've just got to devote a little time to the frog.
Larry King.
Because the frog's column today is, it's ripe with stuff for us to pick on.
Mm-hmm.
Larry King's column in USA Today. I mean, yes. He starts by sucking the ass of Dick Cheney.
Yeah, because Dick Cheney went on his show, and apparently they talked about their bad tickers together.
And let me see. He's an old friend and a frequent guest. Indeed, when I'm back east, as they say, Cheney and I both reside in McLean, Virginia.
Yeah, you know, the rich person suburb.
Then he goes on to talk about his experience with Cheney. And he asks a bunch of stupid questions, like, isn't Tiger Woods a great golfer?
Right.
And Murray Osmond has turned down a chance to be on Broadway. But what really caught our eyes was this. Last week, I mentioned my submarine adventure on the USS Ohio with Rear Admiral Albert H. Conacetti.
It looks like Konetsny.
In a lifetime of seeing and doing so many interesting things, nothing comes close to an event like being on a nuclear submarine. Now, the next line is the one that will slay you. First, for the camaraderie of the men. Second, for the amazing technology on board. And third,
here it is.
The food is fantastic.
He's talking about a nuclear submarine like it's a hotel.
It would have to be when you consider how long these men are out to sea. Oddly enough, I was ever claustrophobic. And while I'm not a big fan of danger...
I'm not a big fan of danger.
I never felt apprehensive.
Larry.
Okay, so let's examine this for a second and see what we can discern.
Okay.
He's not a big fan of danger. Well, who is?
Mm-hmm.
He goes on a nuclear submarine.
Right. Yeah, well, one of the most powerful war weapons in the United States arsenal.
Very sophisticated.
He takes away three things. The camaraderie of the men,
mm-hmm.
the amazing technology, and the food, which is fantastic.
I love, God, this is such good food. What time is breakfast?
Now, we don't know who he took on this submarine ride with him.
But there has seemed to be one individual lately that goes with Larry on all of his major adventures.
And, of course, that is his brother, Marty Zeiger.
Yes.
So, we present to you today what it had sounded like on the USS Ohio
mm-hmm.
when Larry and Marty were at sea. Brother Larry.
Yeah, Marty, we're here. We got on. We almost missed the boat, but here we are. This is a nuclear submarine, the USS Ohio.
I want to tell you something about this.
What's that, Marty?
Well, it's great to be on the ship, Brother Larry.
Yes, Marty.
With all of these nuclear devices and all of these wonderful seamen.
Look at all this, boy. The camaraderie is fantastic.
You know what's the best?
What's that?
The chipped beef on toast.
Let me tell you something. I couldn't agree with you more, Marty. This is a beautiful ship, and they've got all these bells and whistles, but this is a fabulous breakfast.
Larry, use that special phone and call the captain and see if you can get us some sliced papaya.
No problem. Here goes. Hi, Captain. This is Lay King. I'm wondering if we can get some sliced papaya down in the King cabin. It's me and my brother Marty Zeiger. We're down here, and we'd like to have some fresh fruit.
Oh, Brother Larry, Brother Larry.
Yeah, Marty, what do you want me to ask?
Would I be able to get one of those things we used to have on the street corners in Brooklyn?
Of an egg cream?
The egg cream.
Let me ask the captain. Commander, Lay King again. I'm wondering if my brother Marty Zeiger can get an egg cream. We're down here. We love the tour of the ship, and it was great looking at the nuclear arsenal, but we are just starving, and it's going to be 2 hours
for lunch. Brother Larry.
Yes.
Also, perhaps some Dagwood sandwiches.
Oh, big, thick ones?
Yes, not for breakfast, not for lunch, for brunch.
Marty, I'll tell you right now, you just had a big breakfast of chipped beef, but you really want the Dagwood?
I've never had food as good as on the USS Ohio.
It almost makes me forget that the service was a little tardy. Commander, we'd like one Dagwood sandwich, a Dagwood sandwich along with an egg cream for Marty, and I think I'd like a pepperoni pizza.
Can I get a pepperoni pizza? Oh, you're great, Commander. Thank you.
Brother?
Yeah.
Brother?
Onion rings. Oh, yeah. And I'll order up some onion rings and a decaf coffee for me. Thanks a lot.
Would it be possible
that I could get Brother Larry?
Yes, Marty.
I would like a decaf cappuccino with just a touch of whipped cream.
Oh,
on
Marty,
the top.
Marty, that might be tough. I got to get the captain back on. Hold on. Hello, Commander. This is Leigh King. Down in the VIP cabin. Yeah, we're down here next to the nuclear weapons.
Not exactly a VIP captain.
Marty, don't complain. This was the best one they had. The rest of the sailors, the camaraderie of those 25-year-old men, they have to sleep in close quarters. But at least we got our own stateroom. Captain, yes, what do you want, a mochaccino?
No, what I want is a decaf latte with just a touch of whipped cream and a little cinnamon on top of it.
A decaf latte with a touch of whipped cream and just a little cinnamon on top. And is there a chance you could get it here
before lunch?
I'd really like you to get it. Okay, he says, Marty, he says there's no problem. What a great boat. This is a nuclear submarine. And you know, while I'm not a big fan of danger, I've never felt apprehensive. I'm not scared at all.
Nor am I, brother.
This is wonderful. We're under the water. We can hear that pinging sound. And it's only 2 hours to lunch.
Brother Larry, I do have a slight complaint.
What's that? What's that, Brother Marty?
We're down here in our less than spacious surroundings.
I know you're complaining about the size of the room. Come on now. It's not like that hotel that we visited in South Africa.
We ordered our food roughly 2 minutes ago, and it's not here yet.
Oh, dear, you're right. Absolutely. Hold on a second. I'm not going to talk to the commander. I'm going to call Rear Admiral Albert H. Konecny.
Call him.
All right, here we go. Hi, Admiral Konecny.
Is that the Chinaman?
No, I don't believe it is. Hi, this is Leigh King, Admiral. Listen, my brother Marty ordered a decaf latte with just a touch of whipped cream and a little cinnamon sprinkle on it, a Dagwood sandwich, and an egg cream. I ordered a pepperoni pizza, and it was over 2 minutes ago, and it hasn't got here. Now, I know you've got a water run. No, you don't. Why can't we have prompt service? We'd like prompt service on the USS Ohio. What's that, Admiral? Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks so much. Yes, my best to you. I'll give you a chance to meet my wife, Sean.
Hold on, Larry. Tell him the food's here.
All right. Hey, the food's here, Admiral.
Food's here.
No need to
hold
fire
on.
The commander.
Hold on. Leave him on the line for a minute.
All right. Hold on a second.
Leave it right there. Thank you. Thank you, Anton.
Is our order right?
Brother Larry?
Yes, Marty.
Got a quarter?
Yeah. Oh, I hate the tip. You sure it's a quarter? All right, here you go.
Give me a dime.
Good.
Way to
give me a dime. There's a dime for him.
That's for your trouble, young man.
Thank you, sailor boy.
Thank you.
Take care, sailor boy.
All right.
Oh, that was good. Now, did you get the order? You got the pepperoni pizza, the decaf latte with just whipped cream and just a sprinkle of cinnamon on it.
Larry!
What's that, Marty?
Larry! It's not a traditional Dagwood. It's a club.
Oh, no.
Your pizza has goat cheese, not pepperoni, and I can tell from sippiness, this is not decaf.
Oh, this is too much for me, Marty. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. The pressure of being underwater and your order and talking to the Admiral has got me feeling a little lightheaded. I think I'm going to collapse.
Brother Larry!
I'm feeling very faint. I think it might be time for another angioplasty, to be perfectly honest with you.
Brother Larry, let me call.
I'm feeling very ill and lightheaded.
Let me call, Larry.
Call the medic.
Oh.
I can't feel my legs. I can't feel my legs, Marty.
Hello, Marty. Who is this? Captain Stubing, whatever your name is?
Marty, help me, I think I'm dying.
Hi, this help is me. Marty Zeiger.
Oh, my God.
I'm down here in this broom closet you put my brother, TV star, Leigh King.
A crushing pain, this floor is filthy.
I ordered a Dagwood sandwich.
Don't talk about the water, Marty.
A common club sandwich.
Right, Marty, I'm dying down here. I want the ship's medic.
My egg cream is gone sour. My brother ordered a pepperoni pizza, yet it seems to be goat cheese.
Marty, I'm dying.
And I specifically ordered a decaf cappuccino while there seems to be caffeine.
Oh, tell the people I love
that I love them, Marty, especially Ted Turner at CNN. Thank you, Donald Trump, Rickles, and Tony Bennett.
What about your wife and your new children?
Don't worry about them. Just tell those people that are big stars and are very important to me at work.
Oh, the crushing pain of my chest. My brother's not feeling well. Could you set up a seltzer water, please?
Oh, I think, you know, I'm not claustrophobic. And while I'm not a fan of danger, I feel like this might be it. No, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I feel better. I think I'm going to be ready for the tour.
You're a fighter.
Oh, let me use the periscope.
You're a fighter.
Thank you, Marty. I'm feeling better. Now give me my pizza.
Goat cheese, it's not what we ordered.
Don't worry about it, Marty. We'll have another tour of the submarine tomorrow, right after breakfast.
Larry, we've been on the submarine for 3 days. We've never left our little room.
I understand that, Marty. I tell you, I'm ready to expand my horizons and go and meet the commanders. And, of course, those 25-year-old boys. Isn't it great being Zygons?
The food is fantastic.
That's right. And I really don't feel danger. I'm not a big fan of that, you know. Here we are on the fabulous USS Ohio.
Brother Larry?
Yes, Brother Marty.
Are there any people left who think the networks cover Tiger Woods too much?
I'm not really sure, but let me tell you one thing right now. Marie Osmond has turned down the chance to replace Bernadette Peters in Annie Get Your Gun on Broadway.
In between our food order, Nancy Reagan called to say that the ship named after her husband, the USS Ronald Reagan, is not a cruiser, but a nuclear aircraft carrier.
April Smith has written a terrific novel. It's called Be the One.
I'm hungry again.
Don't worry. 1 hour.
Come on. That was a good. Jesus.
Now it's time for me to go into my little Larry head and have a nice BM. Bye, Marty.
Bye, Larry. I love you. I love you, Brother Larry.
Great kids.
Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, you get the picture.
That's Larry and Marty on the nuclear sub.
Zyger brothers.
This guy's on a freaking nuclear sub. That's what he writes. The food is fantastic.
like it's a restaurant.
Right.
The food.
We recommend this very highly.
Anytime you have a chance.
Buzz?
Yes.
Oh, it's time for news and comments right now.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
And Buzz, what is your lead story tonight?
Tonight, once again, Baltimore is number one. And once again, that's bad.
All right.
I like that.
Was it like gonorrhea or something?
It's like that.
Okay, good. Be back in a moment, everybody. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments. Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Brother, that was very...
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Krypton?
All right, time for some station breaks. Here we go. KVOL Lafayette, Louisiana, 105.9. Anchorage, Alaska, KADX, 94.7. San Luis Obispo, California, KCAL, 99.7. And every night in New York, as long as they don't censor us.
Yeah.
On WNEW.
If you don't like them, you can go eat one. The Don and Mike Show.
102.7 in New York City. Now, here's Guy Birdley. If I turned his microphone on.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Well, Baltimore, for Baltimore, now has another distinction. Charm City has not only the highest rate of syphilis in the country, it also now has the worst heroin problem. The feds say Baltimore is the destination for South American heroin that is considerably more pure than what the rest of America gets.
Nothing goes better with syphilis than pure high-grade heroin.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're going to get syphilis, get some heroin.
And you know what you do?
What?
To round that out,
what?
You go to Boog's Barbecue.
There you go.
At Camden Yards.
Absolutely.
You've got the perfect weekend.
Maybe Pollock Johnny's, too. You know, just shoot your heroin right into the Bromo Seltzer Tower.
Come on. Hey, this is not the best heroin I've ever had. Right on. I could do this stuff all night. I hope I don't OD.
You know what they say about Baltimore, hon?
Number one in heroin and syphilis. Uh-huh.
The DEA study also says Baltimore has one of the most severe crack cocaine problems in the country.
Chalk us up to another category. We're number one.
What do you think the ratio would be of addicts, of hard drug addicts in Baltimore?
Baltimore,
what do you think, like one out of 100, one out of...
I'd say buzz, based on my trips to Baltimore and the areas where we perform.
Right.
Sure. I'd say... One out of three.
One out of three is a good statistic. What is it, Buzz?
See, that's a little tighter than I would have predicted. The feds say there are at least 60,000 drug addicts in Baltimore, which is about one out of every 10 citizens.
One out of every 10, but they're all A's fans.
That's reason to be proud.
That's
welcome to the city of Baltimore.
We're counting them down.
One out of 10.
That's a lot. The people who don't want you to eat meat or wear leather or watch them eat rats on Survivor... killed more than 1,300 dogs and cats last year.
You're talking about PETA?
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Yes, they continue to euthanize animals, even though several dozen shelters here in Virginia have adopted a no-kill policy. PETA says some pets are just not adoptable. But the animal adoption...
Right, and Buzz,
yes.
Conversely, some women just won't listen.
The animal...
Those are just added... just little things to live by.
Right.
And adages to live by. Some dogs, mm-hmm. What was that one?
Some animals just not adoptable.
And some women just won't listen.
That's part of the big book. It's all in the book.
We don't euthanize them unless you're OJ.
Mm-hmm.
The Animal Adoption and Rescue Foundation says it was able to find homes for more than 1,000 cats and dogs last year without euthanizing a single one of them. PETA says what it did was the humane thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And please spay and neuter your pets.
Yes. And that won't be necessary. An Oregon man says his hamburger just didn't look right. So now he's suing Jack in the Box for $7 million.
What was in it?
Well, he says he bit into the burger and found staples.
Oh!
Soap. Hair. And spit.
Well, how do you discern spit? On a hamburger.
With the front of your tongue.
The way he tells it is this stuff was in kind of a grouping together inside the meat.
Like phlegm?
Staples, soap, hair, and spit.
I'm going to boo.
The fast food company says it is investigating.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Joe, let's make another burger.
Get to know Charlie.
Okay. Staple gun. Pull out a Charlie hair. Real short one. Honker. Put it all in the middle.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
Your burger's ready, sir.
You should call that an unhappy meal.
Yes, they should.
That is a happy meal.
Oh, I was very happy when I ate mine.
Oh.
Now that it appears a fuel leak caused the Concorde crash last week, and they don't know this for sure, but that's where the evidence is leaning now. Knowing that, this had to be especially scary. An SST made an emergency landing in Newfoundland last night after people on board smelled airplane fuel in the passenger compartment. Tony Bennett and George Benson were among the nervous flyers on that flight.
And for the record,
yes,
no great loss. Okay? I mean, I've heard people talk about, right. These two, high-profile entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, please.
See, last time we said, there could have been celebrities on that flight. This time we're saying, there could have been big celebrities on that flight. Earlier yesterday, another British Airways Concorde flight to New York canceled its departure from London's Heathrow Airport because of a refueling problem.
Well, here is what George Benson had to say.
No.
Boy,
I know.
He's taking it so well. Very. I mean, your plane could have gone down. You smelled fuel. How come you're so relaxed?
It's hard to live the straight, sober life.
He was bombed. Were you bombed on the airplane?
He's the schoolyard bully.
Who, Tony Bennett? Are you saying
he is pathetic.
Wow, I saw you guys on the news. You were talking together. You look like you got along.
Who cares?
Well, will you ever fly the Concorde again?
I agree with that.
Was that an answer to the question?
What? Will you ever fly the Concorde again?
Good question.
He's teasing you.
Okay, answer. George Benson, will you ever fly the Concorde again?
She does have a nice rack, though. I'll give that to her.
The Concorde?
Or a stewardess?
Money?
And now he's talking in gibberish.
In riddles. Will you fly the plane again?
If there were no Matt Damon, no Ben Affleck.
Well, I'm sure we could arrange to maybe have them not on the roster.
It's like a freaking haiku. Will you ride the plane again?
He is a figurehead.
Who, Matt Damon or Ben Affleck?
There's not a chance.
Oh, he's telling you there's not a chance.
All right, thank you. Friendly. Thank you for the conversation.
Yes, bitch slapping.
George Benson.
Wow. I choose to remember a lot of worthless crap. That's all I know.
There is Mr. George Benson.
George Benson.
It was quite a ride,
Benson.
Hey, Benson. wrong Benson. Yeah. It was quite a ride for some folks at Adventureland Amusement Park near Des Moines, Iowa, Saturday night. A skylift known as the Skyride got stuck, trapping 50 people 50 feet in the air.
Oh, God.
They had to be rescued by cherry pickers and fire department ladder trucks.
No!
Most of them were out in less than 2 hours. Most of them.
That's why you shouldn't go on those rides.
But right. Some of the people were stuck there until after midnight. They were stuck over a water ride that left no room below for the rescue equipment. They had to wait for a crane to be brought in. Turns out the problem was a blown breaker switch.
Buzz, hold on there.
All right.
Let me interrupt you right now and tell you we'll be back with more news and comments coming right up.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Show me breath. Yes.
Sit down, Danny, and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
You know what I was telling you stuff coming up on the show in the next couple of weeks. I know that I mentioned we're giving away $16,000 on Friday.
Yeah.
I know also that we have some trivia coming up at Beach House. This Wednesday, it'll be a big Survivor show.
Huh?
We're going to have Gretchen, that bitch school teacher that I didn't like. It was kicked off a few weeks ago.
Right.
She's coming out, and also maybe the most interesting guy on the island,
okay,
that host Jeff.
Ah, I'd like to talk to him. Right. And, of course, you won't be calling her a bitch when she's on the show.
No, not right. To her face.
Right, of course not.
Absolutely not. Two things happening as we speak now. Mm-hmm. The first thing is the show now should be going on in New York.
Right.
I want to do a quick check
until you get to the office and then steal someone else's.
Oh, and they're still playing commercials. To make sure that the show gets on and that they didn't edit out anything we did in the beginning today.
There really should be no reason to do that.
No. Just want to double check because I don't trust him.
Well, him is very, better safe than sorry guy, though,
And meanwhile, at the same time, Monday Night Football has just signed on.
Right.
Turn it on, Buzz. Let's see what they're doing.
Dan Fouts is talking now.
Okay. Dan Fouts, who was on the show a couple weeks ago.
What about the coaches in tonight's game? For more on that, let's welcome Melissa Stark. Melissa.
Well, Al, 3 years ago, Steve Mariucci inherited the 49ers dynasty. Now all that's left is Bill Walsh.
So did we get any Dennis Miller buzz when you turned it on? Was he talking yet?
Not yet. I have a feeling they're saving him for last. They introduced Eric Dickerson, who did a great job. Dan Fouts is doing his bit. I think they're saving Dennis for last.
All right, then. Put the microphone by the TV. Let's hear what he has to say.
Thank you, Melissa. Well, I've been a part of Monday Night Football for 14 years, and I have come to expect the unexpected. But this is off the chart. Some of you may have heard that Dennis Miller will be in the booth on Monday Night Football. We weren't lying. Are you ready for some football?
Hell, Michael!
You know, Al, if there's anybody in this stadium more pumped up than me, they wouldn't pass the league standardized drug test, all right? And it's like a nice team, the New England Patriots, because I think that they've got three things going for them. They've got a young stud quarterback just moving into his peak earning years. You've got a defensive wizard coming over with a lot of toys to operate with on that side of the line. And you've got a very good team that has a fifth-place schedule due to a tie last year with the New York Jets. I think this is probably one of the better teams I've seen with a fifth-place schedule in a long time. As far as my personal approach to the game, well, I know a lot of you people are thinking that I won't take this seriously, but I just want you to know it is a game, but I also realize it's a game many of you take seriously. It's not the Vatican, but then again, the Pope doesn't have to go across the middle on guys like Ronnie Lott very frequently. I'll do my best. I'll study hard. Let's tee it up and have some fun. The Pope goes across the middle. White smoke will be wafting over the Vatican about 3 weeks later. Kickoff when we come back.
Thanks, Al. Well, there you go. You heard Dennis Miller's first words on Monday Night Football.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's cool. Very cool. Glad we heard that. And he sounds pumped up, a little nervous, but, sounds like it might be good. I almost didn't recognize Dennis Miller's voice.
He was kind of up here, wasn't he? I'll tell you right now, if anybody's more pumped up than me.
That explodes.
Hey, but this is great. I think it's going to be fun.
And now let's go back to New York.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Chain reaction.
I just puked.
I'm sorry.
You look totally green.
Rob?
Oh, no.
Oh, they're running a promo at the beginning of the show. I can listen to you guys puke all day.
Turning a little peaky.
Jeez, I didn't mean to make the whole step.
You started this, Regis.
Oh, I love you, boys.
The Don and Mike.
Yeah, Larry, fun.
Don and Mike.
All right, they got a couple of minutes to get to.
Buzzy, what's next?
Well, Dennis Miller is making his debut tonight on ABC's Monday Night Football in the Hall of Fame game between the Niners and the Patriots. On his HBO show Friday night, Miller said he's scared S-less, what with all the naysayers out there. But he says he doesn't think he'll disappoint since he says he loves football and football history more than he loves comedy and comedy history. And he also says he doesn't think he'll accidentally drop the F-bomb, quoting him, "If you hear me say golly, you'll know that what I really mean is F."
Yeah, he said that on the Tonight Show, and then he followed it by the F word. And, you know, it was that Leno crowd, though.
You know, William's like, ooh. Yeah, you say that.
You know, the Leno crowd that is only moved to any kind of motivation when the guy comes out before the show with that big slingshot that shoots T-shirts into the crowd.
Absolutely. And then they laugh at Jay's monologue, and then nothing else.
Yeah.
Because they feel like they've done their job.
They laugh at Jay's monologue that they don't understand.
Right, right.
You know, when Jay talks about political people and stuff.
Sure, sure.
You know, those idiots that line up outside his studio in Burbank don't have a clue.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And, you know, it really was frustrating to hear Dennis Murphy. I keep saying that, too. Dennis Miller, who was really prepared and was very funny on Leno, but definitely a few feet over the head of the crowd.
Yeah. Survivor's Jervis Peterson. You mentioned Survivor. Well, Jervis has been seen driving around in his brand new Jeep Cherokee. Not bad for a YMCA basketball coach or the winner of a $500,000 TV game show. Now, of course, there's no proof that Jervis is the winner, even though a website claims CBS accidentally spilled the beans a couple of weeks ago.
Are you ready to eat your bugs, Mr. Scholarship winner?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, ABC said it was Rudy.
That's right.
Good morning, America.
Well, so it's narrowed down to my sentimental favorite and my intellectual favorite.
According to two alleged websites.
Right.
That's right. This could all be wrong, and that's the fun part at this point. Good Morning America said Friday it's pretty sure, after doing some checking, that Rudy's the winner. But the hints and speculation haven't spoiled the ratings. Survivor did even better than ever last week. And life's not bad for Jervis, either. He tells USA Today, and I quote, "I went to Red Lobster Friday night, and it was a mob scene. The girls just want to sleep with you because you're Jervis on Survivor," end quote. Well, good for him. Get some stink.
Not bad.
Hold on there, Buzz. Let me see what we're doing here.
For the show, you might have seen it. He's checking everything.
Only up to Rob's intro.
Not that it wasn't a great intro, Rob.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
It was a wonderful intro.
Now, you get right to it, right at the start.
We start talking about how the clock is broken.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
And then it takes us a couple of seconds to get into the whole censorship thing. Censorship thing.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you think we're going to be cut?
Yeah,
it's going to be May.
No, I bet they run it as is.
I think so.
That would be my gut feeling. What do you think?
I think we are going to be okay. I really do, because I think we were extremely careful. I think we followed the letter of the law today. I really do.
Probably give us 40 seconds on the clock to bitch about the studio and all of the things that are still wrong with it.
Ready?
Ready. Hold on. One of my complaints has just been fixed.
Well, then Boyle comes in and slows us down.
Buzz, give us another story.
All right.
Well, it's official. A 20-year-old student has been suspended from... You know, that's why I don't like listening to the show.
Right.
People say to me, do you listen to the tapes of the show? Do you critique it? And I say no, because I critique it and I think...
I almost said the S word.
S. We could have done so much better.
Postmortems are very dangerous. You know?
Right.
Yeah, they're very... we have the Madden philosophy on this. Well, you listen more than I do. You're listening to an occasional tape.
Yeah, and it drives me crazy.
Right. Right. And I can't. I mean, it absolutely makes me want to just butt my head up against the wall.
I listen to make sure the levels are okay and the music is okay and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, once we get into stuff like this, no.
Yes.
And we had Ken Stevens in here.
We did.
Giving him a little tour of the studio. Showing him everything that was wrong in the studio. And if only he had stayed,
I know,
40 seconds longer.
Right.
It don't fix that, Charlotte. Because... right as Ken walked out.
All right. We're still talking about the clock being broken.
Buzz?
Yes. A 20-year-old student has been suspended from Brigham Young University for taking part in MTV's Real World show. We knew this was coming. Now it's happened. Julie Stopher was in trouble for sleeping in the same quarters out of wedlock with men
That's a violation of school rules, but it's also how the real world works on MTV.
Julie Stoffer is on the current one or the one that's running now?
The one in New Orleans.
Right.
The one in New Orleans. Is she the pretty one?
She's the virgin.
She's a blonde.
Yeah, she's a good-looking one.
She's hot.
She says she's still a virgin, and to insinuate otherwise is false and slanderous. She's talking about the university there.
Yeah, because that one, I watched that one episode where she goes in with her doctor friend, and she goes walking into his place, and then she comes back the morning after, so...
She was a whore.
Yeah, but there weren't any cameras there.
Right, and she says she's still a virgin.
This little girl has knocker!
She's hot. She's a turbo hottie.
She says, and I quote, "Under the circumstances, I am happy to no longer be affiliated with BYU. I am actively searching for a new university to attend."
All right, hold on. Let me just check one more time, right, because if they're editing the show in New York, we'll know about it now, mm-hmm, and then they will have to edit out the end part of the show in New York, where we're listening to them play the show back. I mean, it's confusing, but just bear with
that.
Yeah.
Over the weekend.
It's gonna be May.
That we're not allowed to talk about the things that we were talking about ad nauseum on Friday that caused a great portion of Thursday.
We have not been edited
in New York.
If they got that, that's the heart of the matter right there. That we're
good news.
If they're going to edit anything, they would have edited what you were just saying.
Right.
It's going to be May.
Right. Thank you. Excellent. Thank you for not censoring us.
Thank you for having the faith in us that we would adhere to the letter of the law.
Thank you. And now, Buzz, now that we've heard the beginning of the show.
Oh, my God. You know what we just
delayed.
Said? We just said thank you. What the hell are we saying thank you?
F you.
Thank you.
Right. F you.
Very good.
And now that we've heard that, and Dennis Miller, hold on.
Okay.
We'll do a break and come back, get more news and comments.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What happened with your wife last night?
Yeah, I'm living with my wife. I'm with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
And why do you have a girlfriend?
Will you stop marvelizing with me now?
No, I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things that I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What, are you crazy?
You love to make them hit you, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzzy.
Hi, Don and Mike. He's the NRA and an alcoholic. Charlton Heston, in this week's National Enquirer, says he spent 3 weeks in a rehab center 2 months ago. He told the tabloids, "I wasn't slurring my words, I wasn't falling over, but I realized it had become an addiction."
Damn, Jake!
Oh, Soylent Green is people. You can take this gun when you pry it out of my cold, dead, drunk hand.
Charlton Heston says he gave up scotch years ago, but drank a lot of white wine since then, mostly at dinners and on airplanes.
Is there a chance I could get another Chardonnay? Thank you.
Heston's publicist says he has no further comment. The head of the NRA could not be reached for comment.
Surprised it wasn't a Bud Light. The name is Heston. Charlton Heston. Fill it to the top.
That's a good lad. That's tasty brew.
See you at the NRA Cafe.
It's a fine idea. We'll have guns.
With alcohol.
With Wendell.
With Big Joe. Instant message Charlton Heston and tell him we're all going to the NRA Cafe.
I'll instant message him back. I'm coming. I'm coming to the cafe.
Fewer than 50 fans showed up, and there were only about a dozen reporters at the $1 million wedding ceremony for Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt Saturday night. Airspace over the ceremony was restricted, so the tabloids and the TV stations had to keep their helicopters away, and $100,000 was reportedly spent on security. They spent $75,000 on flowers and another $20,000 on fireworks.
How do you spend $75,000 on flowers?
I don't know.
That's some doing.
I read that they had the flowers imported from Europe.
Really?
Right.
Like American
flowers?
Like
you could tell the freaking difference.
Not good enough for them?
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah,
that is really, really incredible.
It is indeed. Wow.
The guest list included Cameron Diaz, Lisa Kudrow, David Schwimmer, Matthew Perry, David and Courtney Cox Arquette, Ed Norton, Salma Hayek, David Spade, and John Lovitz. Jennifer's mother was not there as the actress continued.
But John Lovitz is there.
I know.
I was going to say just that. John Lovitz is there.
I think it was David Spade's date.
Oh, Buzz, hold on.
Okay.
Here's what John Lovitz said at the wedding. Thanks for having me.
Is that sponsorable?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
100%. That fart out of my ass
from the best cigar site on the planet, eGars.com.
It's been a real slice of heaven. I just decided I'd break wind so you can hear me.
Clint Eastwood says he was never very faithful to his women until now.
Gold. Get out of here, man. Where to, mister? Gold.
He tells TV Guide he never wanted to be faithful until his current wife, Dina Ruiz.
That's the right answer.
Clint says he still glances at other women. He says he notices that there's, quote, cleavage out there. But he says, if you respect the woman you're with, you maintain respect for yourself. And with that, he says, desire for others goes out the window.
Go. Did you have to be such a tasteless bastard?
Go.
Stop it, you son of a bitch. You're hurting me.
Friday, we told you about a website where, for example, wives could go and hire this woman out of Chicago to lure your husband into some naughty talk on the internet.
You've been very curious about this, Buzz. A little too curious.
You think? Well, I just left off with that, and I left everybody hanging because there's another side to that story.
Oh, really?
For every lock, you know, there's a key, and for guys who enjoy the online sex, there's a website to cover your tracks. AceAlibi.com will back up any excuse you dream up. It'll make hotel reservations in a made-up name. The service will even intercept phone calls and reroute them to wherever you want. And the website will even buy stuff for you so the purchase cannot be traced back to your credit card. The company's growing quickly, collecting $35 memberships and $25 service fees. Quoting the website, with all the strains modern life puts on us, many people now find the need for a break from their partners, end quote.
Oh, God.
A British man who was prosecuted for having sex with four other men at a party.
Everybody in this room just looked at each other and kind of nodded.
Oh, yeah. Stop it.
No, we did.
Not in a wink.
Somebody's using their head. Using their noodle. Honey, I'll be at a meeting tonight. Call me. Give me a call.
A British man who was...
Yeah. What about the FF, though?
The Frida Factor. What about the Frida Factor?
First of all, I could never get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Second, there's no way that this company could ever outwit Frida.
No, but what kind of idiot signs up with a company on the internet to cover their tracks?
I want to be a client. I'm not the client. I'm the president.
But even if it's something as simple as making a purchase, you know, that you don't want the mission to find out about.
It just, I think you're playing with fire.
Well, of course you are.
Yeah,
of course. It's a dangerous game.
Mm-hmm.
A British man who was prosecuted for having sex with four other men at a party is getting $50,000 in damages and court costs.
Is this the greatest thing ever? I've had sex with four men. Cinnamon. I've had anal sex. Isn't that the funniest thing ever?
The British government has been ordered by the European Court of Human Rights to pay the man after police raided the man's home and confiscated a videotape that revealed the group sex.
Look at that. There they all are. Would you mind taking your clothes off? I'd like to have sex again.
Private group sex is illegal in Britain, but only if the group is all male.
And only if you run out of scotch.
Straight group sex in private is not against the law in Britain.
Straight group sex? That's a good idea, too. Where's my sweater?
The court's ruling will force the British government to change its law to make it more even-handed.
Every thank you, Buzz.
That's the way I like it. You better use an even hand.
Those tappers right there. Price package selected especially for you. Phone number, same as it ever was.
That is never was.
877-365-3636. Beat the 100th caller right now.
Oh, go ahead. Knock your socks off.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, that's the way to fight through it. How about you, Tim? One down.
With roughly half of our affiliates still airing the program, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, Buzz. In sports, home run wizard Mark McGwire may be out for nearly the entire month of August. St. Louis Cardinals already missed most of July because of tendonitis in his right knee.
Boy, am I glad I didn't bet on that pussy this year.
That's for sure. Word is it even hurts when he applies his foot to the brake pedal in his car. And the swelling has not gone down. And what about that big trade the Red Sox made today, Buzz?
I don't think they made a big trade today.
Oh, that's right. They didn't do anything. Thank you. They didn't do
anything.
Congratulations, yeah. McGuire has said that surgery would be his last resort, and the Cards don't seem to think there'll be a surgery. Without him, the Cardinals are hurting, winning only 3 of their last 11 games.
Well, why don't they just DH, or they can't DH in the National League? Why don't they just use him as a pinch hitter?
Because his foot hurts, apparently. It hurts for him to...
Yeah, his foot hurts, but, you know, he doesn't hit the ball with his feet.
No, but...
Yeah, but if he puts it on the ground or he hits the base hit, he might have trouble getting down the line. You
right.
don't want him to be in pain.
Well, just tell him to hit it out of the park every time.
Hit a home run every time up.
Every time. Take the chance.
It's either a home run or nothing.
Right.
A preliminary injunction.
No pain, no gain.
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, give him the needle.
Yeah.
Like Jerry Glanville used to say, you know,
right there, give him the needle. Right there, come on then, shoot him up.
A preliminary injunction stopping the New York Yankees, for now anyway, from forming a new company to telecast next season's games. Madison Square Garden currently owns the broadcast rights and filed an objection that led to this injunction. If the Yankees get their way, they could double their annual income from broadcast fees, and that's money that could be pumped into player salaries, even though the Yanks already have the fattest payroll in baseball. And finally, just a big baby alert. In Bridgeton, Missouri, just outside of St. Louis, Lori Wilmus has just given birth to a boy. A 13-pound boy.
Lady Rabe.
I'm born. I am here. Mamay, give me.
She says Jared is eating like a normal newborn, but she says he isn't dressing like a normal newborn. She says she had to give away the diaper she'd bought for him because the newborn size wouldn't fit.
Bigger, my man.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No.
Yes?
No.
Yes, that's it. Gotta go. See you all at the ratings party.
Yeah.
Are you going?
You're not going.
I'm making a cameo.
You are?
Very good.
Just for a moment.
Really?
Maybe.
You know how I know whether he's going or not?
How?
I always tell him he's not going.
He's not going?
He's not going.
Of course.
And if he's going, he's going.
I'm going no matter what.
So I always ask him if he's going to find out if he's going. He's pointing to me and Rob.
Right, I know.
Rob says he's going no matter what I do.
Not going.
No, he's not going.
He's not going.
He just told me he's not going.
Oh, he's not going?
Hey. Oh, I'm not going.
All right, that's it. We got to go. We will see you tomorrow.
There you go.
Well, no, I might surprise you.
No, you won't.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, I am the 100th caller.
Yes, you are. Hi, what's your name?
Greg.
Greg, where are you from?
Massachusetts.
Greg, you want the free order of nachos from Taco Bell? Try Taco Bell's new freshly made chips with nacho cheese sauce, but wait, there's more. You want the Power Hour card from Dave and Buster's. Dave and Buster's, the premier place in America for adults to have fun. Enjoy.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this, with all, a non-censored show.
Yeah.
Thanks. See you tomorrow with a new episode. Thank you. Good night, Buzz.
Thank you. Good night, Don.
Thank you. Good night, Mike.
See you in a few minutes, Doc.
And what would you do if I did a show?
I would buy you a martini.
Well, they're free.
That's what I said. I'd buy you a martini.
All right. We will see you tomorrow with a new episode. And, Robbie.
Yes?
Why don't you come to the party?
I
can't drink. I can't eat any of the food there. And I got the promo to do.
I hate going to a party when you're not there.
Well,
Rob, you really should go.
But don't go on my account, because even if you go, I'll stay for 5 minutes.
Account. I'd love to have you.
I drank all weekend. I can't go and drink. It'll ruin me.
So have a Diet Coke. I'll make you.
That'll happen if I go.
You know what? We'll make fun of all the people there, just for about a half hour. Come on.
Come on, Mr. Scholarship winner.
All right, if we get it in my mouth, we'll do it.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. So we have a gambling now.
Okay.
Throw your hat in the air. Just like, and they'll screw it up on purpose.
No, I'm trying.
Just like Sydney. Tyler Moore. Here we go. Something really on the line now.
All right, he's coming.
Got it.
Are you?
No. No, I'm kidding. I'll see you there.
All right.
Okay, see you tomorrow, buddy.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. Celebration is saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer have the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.